This is the Patriots Pregame Social, live from the Patriots Facebook page.
Brady takes the snap. Back to throw. Fires left. Caught. First down. Breaks inside the 10. Inside the 5. Touchdown.
The Pregame Social is the world's biggest virtual tailgate featuring the fans of the three-time Super Bowl champion New England Patriots.
Back-to-back world championships. 3 out of 4. Yes, it's a dynasty.
Paul Perillo and Andy Hard of Patriots Football Weekly are here to do the grilling as your hosts. This week, the Pats wrap up the preseason by hosting the New York Giants. Now, Paul and Andy get you ready for the game. Live from the Subway Fresh Broadcast Studios inside Gillette Stadium. Patriots Nation, welcome to the Patriots Pregame Social.
Time once again for another edition of the Patriots Pregame Social here inside the Subway Fresh Broadcast Studios alongside Andy Hart. I'm Paul Perillo. And we have finally reached, Andy, the end of the preseason. Tonight, in just a couple of hours, the Patriots and Giants will go at it, or at least members of the Patriots and Jets will go at it. Which members, we have no idea as of yet.
Many guys who will one day claim to be alumni of the teams, even though the teams will say, did he ever play here?
A lot of varying reports as to the caliber of player we may see tonight. We'll get into that and obviously a whole lot more here as we get into our final preseason edition of the Patriots Pregame Social here at Gillette Stadium. Real quick, just to get some bookkeeping out of the way, I want to let you know how to participate in this show because, as we've talked about it all summer, this is your pregame show. It is for the fans, and as Andy and I like to say, who better to give a show to the fans and make a show about the fans than Andy and Paul, two very warm and fuzzy guys when it comes to fan participation. So you can email us here at webradio@patriots.com. Again, that's webradio@patriots.com. That is the quickest way, more than likely, to participate in the show, but you can also give us a call on the Ace Ticket Hotline, and that number is 508-298-0398. Again, that's 508-298-0398, and we certainly would encourage all of your participation. We want you on the Facebook page. We want you sending photos of your tailgate. We want you participating in the Twitter feed on the Twitter and get the hashtag, Andy, is PPGS.
PPGS.
Patriots Pregame Social. So a lot of different ways for you to have some fun with us tonight, and we hope that you will. Andy, I think first.
Because let's be honest, this show could be better than the game.
Well, tonight,
there's a chance.
I don't really think there's any question, and I'm not trying to discourage you from watching the game tonight. Matter of fact, that segues nicely into our Facebook poll that we're going to start the night with. We'll have a couple of different versions of a poll tonight on the Facebook page. How much of this game are you going to watch?
All of it.
How much are you
Fred
interested
said
in?
I had to.
Are you going to watch just until the starters leave? Are you going to watch it from the kickoff to the final knee being taken? How much of this game are you interested in, and what are you looking to see? That's a poll that you can get over to the Facebook page right now. Participate in that. We'll check in with Kevin in a little while and see how that's going. Andy, you brought up and you posted, I believe, on the blog this afternoon, if I'm correct.
You are correct.
Just a number of players that you think, and I certainly would agree, this game may have a little bit more importance to. And I kind of wanted to get into that, and I wanted to make that sort of our early theme as we get going tonight. Real quickly, why don't you get into some of the players you think might have something to prove against the Giants?
Well, I think a lot of them, it's almost groupings of players. You look at the safety position, Josh Barrett and James Ahedibo are two guys that may
Perfect.
Be vying for one spot as a backup safety / special teamer. You look at linebacker, where you got a couple veteran guys, Nico Koutavides and Tracy White, vying for primarily a special teams role there as linebackers. You look at tight end, where you have two rookies who are probably vying for that third tight end role. Will Yateman, who has kind of become a little PFW favorite for his desire to run people over when they stand in front of him. But
I
also
like his cool hair.
Lee Smith, the fifth round pick. You know, those two guys are probably vying for one spot, although both may last if one of them lands on the practice squad. An interesting veteran, I think, to keep an eye on is the long snapper. You can watch him from start to finish and say, should he rent? Or should he buy?
And we're already
Foxborough
getting some
area.
Reports that he is out on the field. Mike Reese, our good friend from ESPN Boston, reporting wearing the number 45. He's out there already, so the newest long snapper, and as Mike points out, third long snapper in less than 2 years here in New England. Andy's right. That's an area to keep an eye on.
I would say two of the bigger names, former draft picks, that should probably give it their all tonight. Not that they haven't previously in their careers, but Brandon Tate in the wide receiver kickoff return game. I think still there's a chance they keep all of them and he remains. But, you know, he dealt with the injury earlier in the preseason. Then last week he was terrible on returns against the Lions. He's a guy that I'll be interested to see not only what he can do on offense, but on special teams. And then Rich Ornberger, who I think in some ways is being fairly criticized for this week because he was terrible against the Lions. But on some levels, I think it's a little unfair. God forbid you struggle against Namakon Sue, the best young defensive tackle in football. So I'm a little torn on him. They don't have a lot of depth there in that interior backup position. Ryan Wendell's hurt. Dan Conley right now is hurt. So they actually don't even have high-end guys at that position. But I'm assuming Conley, it's a minor thing. He'll be back to be the starter. But who ends up winning the backup job or the two backup jobs on the inside? And can Ornberger stick around more than just on the practice squad, which I would assume he'd land on the practice squad if he doesn't make the roster.
I'll just make sure that if we have to put our backups in, Andy, that the other team will not have their high-end players out there to have
the front door is open, so why don't you shut it?
All right, you know, and so we're, obviously that is going to be a big part of our
Everybody
show
around here is very critical. It's the instant return age, immediacy. You got to be perfect. If you're Taylor Price and struggle as a rookie, you're dumb. You don't get the offense. If you're Chad Ochocinco and don't learn the playbook in less than a month, you're dumb. You're washed up. You're lethargic. If you're Rich Ornberger and you struggle against Ndamukong Suh, you don't have an NFL career in front of you. Ridiculous.
I didn't say anything about an NFL career. I do think that.
Remember
when
Warren Sapp mocked Russ Hochstein?
Interior,
Russ Hochstein was a nice long-term backup.
The backup interior offensive line, I think, is a underrated cause for concern. I do. I don't think.
Oh, I do too.
I think with Ryan Wendell hurt,
especially since you don't have a lot of faith in the starter at
they
right
need,
guard.
They need Ryan Wendell to return. I know it sounds sort of strange to say. Well, what do they need a backup guy? You know, I think that they don't really have anybody who can adequately play center should something happen to Dan Copen without Wendell. So I think that's a fairly important injury and something to keep an eye on.
They all are, though. I think there's a chance you see the addition of a veteran guard.
Yeah,
as these
too.
Cuts come down, I don't know who it is.
I was surprised we hadn't seen it as of yet.
Billy Yates still available?
That's an area that Belichick is quite typically addressed with a veteran.
Yeah, and they always retire.
And they always either don't make it or they retire. But, I mean, do you remember that there was a guy last year with a funny name? I can't remember it now. Eric Gajcik.
Oh, Eric Gajcik.
You know, he was an NFL veteran that had been around a little bit. He didn't make it out of camp. I thought a guy like that would come in and participate in camp, and it never happened. So that's where we're going to go.
Is that a product of the offseason?
I would guess. I would guess there was probably bigger fish to fry.
And also, you assume Ornberger knows the system. Yeah. Wendell knows the system. We'll keep these guys.
Something, you know, you had to re-sign Mankins. You had to re-sign Light. You had to go out and make trades for Ochocinco and Haynesworth. And
they got plenty of cap room now after releasing James Sanders.
You went out and got guys like Mark Anderson and Sean Ellis. And, you know, something had to go. And evidently, they decided, like you said, they had some guards that had some experience in the Patriots system. They had no way of knowing that Ryan Wendell was going to get hurt early in camp the way he did.
Even if those guys are healthy, do you feel great about?
I feel
the right
okay with
spot?
Wendell because he has started.
No, I'm talking about the starter.
Well.
I'm talking about the position.
Yeah, I'm fine with Conley.
Oh, I'm not.
I'm fine with Conley. I don't think he's I don't think he's Stephen Neal.
I think,
but
he's
I think
a guy.
He can
the more
get by
you
with
see,
Conley.
The more you're going to look for another guard.
Yeah, I mean, I'm okay in the short term with him, though.
Good thing is Sean Ellis is on our team now.
I don't think that. Like I said, I don't think he's Stephen Neal. I don't think he's Logan Mankins, but I think you can get by with him as a guard, but. That's where we're going to focus. We're going to look at some of the guys that Andy foreshadowed very nicely today, and that's who we're going to be talking about. I want to know who you think has the most approved. But as we do toward the beginning of every show, every Patriots pregame social, I want to look at the fan tab quotient here because last week I sort of called everybody out, Andy. I was looking to get that confidence meter up over 90. And we did it by the end of the game. And unfortunately...
But you couldn't keep it up.
This is not KFW Friday. The Patriots couldn't keep it up.
It's an average rating.
The Patriots couldn't keep it up, Andy. I had no
Why
such...
Why is your mind in the gutter?
I had no such trouble. So I want to, at this time, take a look at the FanTab, FanTab.com Patriots Confidence Index and Let me know how that one is coming out. Do you have that open?
85.
See, that's down.
Down 5 points.
Down.
Holding strong for the last 24 hours, but in the last week, yes, it has dropped 5 points. Gee, I wonder why. Maybe because they got their asses whooped.
It's just a preseason
by
game.
The Detroit Lions and Ndamukong Suh. They lost a right guard. Ocho Cinco, the talk of the town, is that he's not getting the offense. There's a lot of negativity surrounding these Patriots for the last week, right? So it kind of makes sense.
No, you're right. You're right.
But I would urge all you Fred Kirsch types, you homers, to get on there, sign up for FanTab, use your Twitter, your Facebook, whatever. Go on there and get that rating up where it belongs. Because let's be honest, if Vegas thinks they're the odds-on favorite to win the Super Bowl, their rating should be higher than an 85. That's a B.
And
it
is.
It's not a B football team.
It's an easy thing to do. You just go on there, and as Andy said, you can use your Facebook or Twitter account. You don't even have to sign up for anything. But you could get on there and muck it up a little bit. You know, talk smack to the Jets fans. Ask the Jets about Rex Ryan's feet and stuff. You know, I mean, it's an easy way to talk trash.
Really beautiful feet.
And get under people's skin. So I want that confidence level right back up where it belongs, and that's over 90. If you're a Super Bowl contender, God damn it, act like one. Act like one. I want it up over 90.
He's swearing now.
All right, that's fantab.com. Again, take a look at that and make sure we get well represented.
You're never up, you're never in the Super Bowl.
All right, also later in the show, we're going to check in, as we always do, with a writer from out of town today.
Vito Stellino?
No. I don't know why that caught me so off guard. No, it's going to be Paul Schwartz from the New York Post.
Oh, Schwartz.
Will join us, Giants beat writer. I assume he is up in the press box as we speak, but we'll...
I don't know. Since they didn't send their starting players, maybe they didn't send their starting writers.
One never knows, Andy, but we will check in.
He's pretty angry, so that may be the case.
We'll check in about 6:30 for that and get a look at... take the temperature on the Giants side. But, Kevin, I talked about that Facebook poll at the top of the show. How much of this game are people interested in watching?
It's looks like I wouldn't miss a play, which is our last option. Is getting the most votes here.
Well, that's
makes
what
sense.
It should be if you're listening to this show.
50% almost of the vote, and then it looks like the fair weather fans aren't really voting because
they don't listen to us. The fair weather fans are out on the golf course right now.
We had an option that said until the starters are out, and that only has 10%. So it looks like most of the people are in it for the long haul tonight.
Plus, if you're going to watch, you know Brady's not going to play more than 10 minutes. So you're not going to watch just till the starters are out because you never would turn the game on. There's no point in watching
the only thing that would hurt ratings is Red Sox-Yankees later on, too. So you probably get a lot of people flipping back and forth.
Poor Richard Medlin. No one's going to see him carry the ball in the fourth quarter. People will be watching the Sox. I got a question off Twitter, Paul Perillo.
Okay.
From our friend, Dr_Field. Is there any possibility that your new favorite player, Tyquan Underwood, he of the tremendous hair, will take Brandon Tate's roster spot?
Possibility? Sure. I think it's a long shot.
Super long shot.
I'm not sure.
I'm going to say zero chance.
I'm not sure that Brandon Tate has a roster spot. And even if he does, I think it's an awful tall order, not trying to touch on that high top fade that Underwood sports. But I think that's a real tough task to come in that late and acclimate with a new team. He's really done very, I think he has 8 career catches in 2 seasons.
He's done a little returning.
He's been a guy who has had a hard time catching the football. I just don't see it. I just don't see it.
I think there's zero chance. Either Tate makes it with that extra role or he doesn't. I don't see another guy
Listen, I don't want to be disrespectful. These are NFL players and these are good football players, all of them, right down to the very last one. I think that he was
Buddy Farnham?
No. Well, yeah, but I think he was brought here tonight to play in this game. I think they needed another body to play in this game. My guess is that Wes Welker and Chad Ochocinco probably not going to see extensive time. Taylor Price has been banged up. They need somebody to go out there and run routes.
We're blowing up on Twitter. You ready for another one? Let's do some rapid-fire tweets to open the show.
Hit me.
We like to start with tweets.
Hit me.
One of them from our friend... Where'd it go?
I thought you had it. Rapid
Magnitude
fire.
_10. People really like the underscore in their Twitter handles, huh? Magnitude_10 says, why does Kevin make a high-pitched, annoying noise when you mention Twitter? Please make him stop. Just kidding. That is one, but luckily he's not paying attention right now, so he didn't do it. The real one is from Hawk4444. Do you guys see if healthy that Cannon come in? can come in and play guard in week 7. I personally do. I think he's maybe not week 7, but a late season option at guard. I think he's the future at that right guard position. I think he's massive, a mauler, and I think there's a chance. I really do think there's a chance you could see him on the field late in the year.
I agree with that, and that's
Did you mock me last time I said that?
No. What I'm saying is he could be a – no, you think he's going to step in and play for Conley.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, I don't. I think he steps in and he solidifies that spot that we were talking about where they're a little thin in that interior offensive line.
So you don't
right
think
now.
He'll play?
No, I think he'll be an upgrade
I'm saying
over what
now.
You have.
I guarantee he starts a game in 2011.
See, I can't make that say the case that he won't, but I am going to guarantee.
Well, I can't really make the case that he will.
No, but what I'm saying is barring injury, if there's no injuries to the offense, to those three spots, he's not going to start a game.
I'm saying
he's not going to beat out Dan Conley.
You really like
year.
Dan Conley, huh?
No, I just don't think it's realistic to expect the kid to do that.
He's a smart kid.
Listen, I think he's a very talented kid, but I think that's asking way too much of a kid. He's coming off of something so much more important than football and so much more impactful in his life. That's asking an awful lot, don't you think?
Yeah, but I think that's his career. I mean, this is his livelihood. This is...
I know
what he does.
But
I don't think he's going to do it because
his livelihood will become the most important thing to him.
Oh, I think it already has
next year.
See, I think his livelihood, as soon as he has zero limitations, Bill Belichick said he still has some limitations.
Yeah.
As soon as he has zero, I think he will do his best to immediately forget about cancer. And the best way to do that is go about your life. And his life is in the National Football League. He's a guy that's already lost something because of cancer. He lost the ability to be a first, second round pick, a high draft pick. Went in the fifth round, right? We took him in the fifth round?
Fifth round, yeah.
And he landed in my opinion is a great opportunity.
I like the guy a lot.
I think he could be next to Logan Mankins, opposite Logan Mankins for the next 5 or 8 years.
Yeah,
and establish himself, maybe not as a Pro Bowler, but as the Stephen Neal, the guy everybody says, you know, Mankins is the guy, but they got another pretty good one over there on the right side.
And everything you just said, I'm 100% on board with. The only thing I disagree with you is the timetable. I think it's going to take him a little bit more time to get himself prepared. That's all.
I know the offensive line like
you
nobody's
do.
Business.
And I do respect you for that because you actually watch the tape and I don't.
Know cancer, though. That's the problem.
That's where I'm trying to come from is I think that he's coming off of something that's so much different for any football player that I think it's just asking a whole lot. And unless they really have problems with injuries inside, I don't think that it's fair to expect him to come in and beat somebody out, coming out of the shoot. But I do want to mention Andy. Very excited. We've had a couple of photos already come in. David has sent in a shot of his tailgate. I hope we're getting these all up on Facebook as we speak. Another one, unfortunately, from Pam. Here's her name. Pam, right in Malden, Mass., a neighbor of mine, Andy. Good GBL city. They're coming in, so the tailgates are coming fast and furious, and I expected that with a home game.
It looks nice out in the parking lot.
Yeah, doesn't it?
Pictures.
It's not so nice in here.
Oh, no, it is absolutely nice beautiful
it's
out
a,
there.
It's a beautiful day.
Beautiful.
Playing some cornhole out there, it looks.
What's that now?
The game called cornhole that Pam was playing.
Oh, okay.
The beanbag.
Listen, why do you keep giving me strange looks?
I don't know.
It looks like he smelled something.
The guy, every person in the history of the planet named Richard makes you laugh, and cornhole does nothing for you.
No.
Yeah.
It's just a game they play, tailgate, you know.
Anthony in Toronto, I'm going to hit the email real quick here.
What up, Bay?
And because I think he touches on a guy that I think could come into play tonight. See, this is what I mean. Touches on a guy who could come into play. That makes you laugh.
We're on the radio, Paul. Nobody can see this. So just read the email.
Anthony in Toronto wants to know what we think of Shane Vereen and his potential. And specifically, do we think he has any chance to work his way into the kick return game?
Or how about the other end of that spectrum? It's a great segue into something I wrote on the blog yesterday. Is there any chance he gets cut? Which is a topic that was posed by Boston.com over the last couple weeks because of his injury. They refer to him as a cut-worthy candidate. A, no chance he gets cut. Zero. Less than zero. Better chance Tom Brady gets cut than Shane Vereen. Well, maybe not quite that much, but you get the point. He's not getting cut. The only way he's not on the active roster is if he's on IR. If he has that injury linger into the season.
Yeah, I don't think there's any chance he gets cut. I agree with Andy on that.
But I do think there's a chance he contributes.
I think when he is ready, now hopefully tonight he gets out there and plays. He's had about a week of practice now, a little bit more than a week. I think he is a guy who could factor into the return equation because he is a dynamic player.
Mm-hmm.
He's a guy that's done a lot of different things with the ball in his hands. Get out in space. Yeah, I think he could definitely factor into that. Unfortunately, I can't even tell you even one time that I saw him do it because we just didn't see him really practice.
They have an interesting makeup at running back, and assuming they keep five, which is a bold assumption with Sammy Morris making it, but assuming they have the five, you have the two holdovers from last year, the starters, whatever you want to call them, Ben Jarvis, Green Ellis, Danny Woodhead. Then you have Ridley as the main backup to Green Ellis, who's already shown us a little something-something in the preseason. And you have Vereen, theoretically, to back up Woodhead in that change of pace, athletic role. And then you kind of have Morris, the veteran, to serve as the mentor. But also, we've seen him do both. He's been kind of the lead back for a game or two. He's been the guy that catches the ball out of the backfield for a game or two when he had to over the years. So there's an interesting dynamic there. A similar committee that they've had, but it's trending towards the youth. You know, last year at this time, Green Ellis and Woodhead were nobodies. Now Woodhead is the 22nd most popular jersey in the NFL. So,
and
you know,
Green Ellis is lead back.
I'm still a little scared to just assume you're going to get 1,000 yards and 10 touchdowns out of Green Ellis and assume you're going to get, you know, 6 yards a carry on handoffs and another 9 yards on receptions from Woodhead. Right. I wouldn't call them exactly established, proven commodities.
Bill in San Diego, by the way, is still upset with us. Very, very upset.
I'm going to ask it again. How can you be upset in San Diego?
It's a good
Go
question.
On the beach, look at some women, enjoy the weather.
He insists on using all kinds of profanity, but he says he thinks it's a bad idea that we're making subscribers join Facebook to listen to the show.
You don't have to join Facebook.
For the 111th time, Bill, all you have to do is click on a link. You do not have to join Facebook if you don't want to.
And you actually don't have to go to Facebook. Listen to it on iTunes Live if you prefer that method. Take out your smartphone, although knowing your emails, I doubt you have a smartphone. It's probably a dumb phone for you.
Yeah.
But take out your phone and listen on one of your apps.
He calls
you
names.
Or
he calls me names. He's just, he's not very.
What does he call me? Is it not nice?
POS.
Point of sale?
Right.
Oh.
Yeah, he calls you Big Head, too. He says you'd probably get your butt kicked by B-Lo.
Last week it was Eric. Are you going to pick one of the geeks and stick with him?
Well, I think either one would be quite humiliating.
Yeah, but it would never happen.
I don't know. These things happen. You never know.
B-Lo's got a better chance because he's got the reach advantage. He's a tall one.
He's a tall one.
He can land the jab.
It's if
he can sink the jab and keep me off him, he's got a chance.
What do you think? Want to check in with the Ace Ticket hotline here?
Sure. Or we can check into tweets. Anything you want. We got some stuff coming in.
First time tonight, we'll head on over to the phone lines. Jeff is in Vegas. Vegas, baby. What's
Vegas,
up, Jeff?
Right.
You got any money on the game tonight?
Not tonight, but I'm sort of looking ahead to week one.
Good.
And I think, just depending what the number is, I think Miami is always sort of a tough game, tougher than a lot of people expect. So I might be looking for a closer game than a lot of people might think Monday night, week one.
I might agree with you because I think the Dolphins have a decent defense. I think they got some guys that can cover. They got a pass rush. I think their offense is a debacle right now because of the quarterback. And now I'm reading
that
they
can't run the ball at all.
Daniel Thomas is not picking up the offense. They're not going to be able to use him. They're going to have to go Reggie Bush every down. You know, they brought in Larry Johnson. I might want the under.
The offensive line has been a disaster in the preseason.
Their offense stinks.
And that rookie is really disappointing. The only thing that scares me a little is Brandon Marshall, big receiver.
Yeah.
He was pretty good the other night, and we know what we saw, you know, against Detroit for us.
Anything for tonight, Jeff? Because I want to encourage you to call back a week from Monday, because obviously that'll be our first quote unquote real Patriots pregame.
And you can
social.
Let us know where you laid your coin.
Yeah, but yeah, anything tonight you're looking for?
It's Aaron Hernandez. You look at him; he's like a 21-year-old kid, has a reputation for being somewhat of a punk, if you will. And yet, he's more on the same page with Brady, you know, than anyone else right now. And also, look at someone like Woodhead; sort of picked it up immediately when he came over here. So, relating that to Ocho Cinco, could this be something you either get it or you don't? Like, could Ocho Cinco be like a, God forbid, Donald Hayes or Charles Johnson type situation?
Could he? Yes. But I'm not willing to go that route yet. I know Paul's a little more worried in that area than I am. Your Woodhead example's perfect. The fact that Woodhead was able to come in and do what he did immediately, to me, is a perfect case of some guys have it, some guys don't. But I'm not ready to say Ocho doesn't. I think there's other guys that need a normal offseason. I saw Aaron Hernandez and Rob Gronkowski get their butts chewed out on the practice field last year after a full offseason. After having passing camps and rookie mini camp and veteran camp, training camp, Bill O'Brien was chewing them out, calling them idiots, having to rerun plays because they didn't know where to be. So it took them a while to get it. When they got in the regular season, they clearly got it and built on it. Ocho's been here for a month. That's all he has in this playbook is a month.
Yeah, do you think it's a matter of not having to unlearn anything? Like maybe a rookie doesn't have, whereas Ocho Cinco's the 10 years that he has to deal with?
Yeah, I mean, I think that might be part of it, Jeff, and thanks for the call. But I think when you're dealing with some of this stuff, I think it's hard to sort of paint them all with one brush. And Andy brought up Woodhead and how quickly he did it. There were other guys. Jabari Gaffney did it seamlessly mm-hmm. in the middle of a season.
Mm-hmm.
Rishe Caldwell, even though he wasn't the most talented guy, didn't seem like he had a lot of problems being where he was supposed to be that season. He didn't have the talent that some of these other guys did.
No, but he had the offseason.
Doug Gabriel came in the middle of the season. He didn't pick it up. You know, Gaffney was at the same time, and he had a problem. So I think it's hard to just say, well, this guy did it, this guy. You know, I think it is one of those things. I think there might be some truth to it. Ocho Cinco is a better player, and he'll probably be okay because of his talent. But I do think it's one of those things where you either kind of get it or you don't. And I'm leaning toward that he's not going to get it right now. And I know that you and I disagree on this. And just as a little foreshadowing for those of you who enjoy the stuff that we do here at Patriots.com and at Patriots Football Weekly, you may see a little bit more on the Chad Ocho Cinco subject tomorrow on Patriots.com when Andy and I go at it. That's all you got to say over there?
What?
That's the first time I ever rendered you speechless.
That was a poor choice of words.
I wasn't listening. I got some more tweets ready if you want those.
Well, the way you were looking, I thought you did. So when I stopped, I thought you would kind of get into something. But, hey, listen, still the preseason for us, too.
Yeah. And it's even worse. I mean, we're rookies at this, essentially. It's a new show with a lot going on.
I'm the oldest rookie in the history of rookies.
People want to compare this to PFW in Progress, which is the Cincinnati Bengals offense. I just sit there and make stupid jokes. Fred runs the show. It's very easy. Now people are asking me to read tweets, read fan tabs. You got phones lighting up.
I'm asking you to do something.
Yeah, yeah. At least Ocho has Brady to work with. I got you running this offense, and it stinks. Anyway, Beto Basil. For what it's... Oh, no, that's the wrong one. I didn't want to, UK Pats fan checking in, our friends over there. Why hasn't
what
Woodhead...
happened to across the pond?
Across the pond. Why hasn't Woodhead returned punts, and do you think he will in the future, Paul?
Why hasn't Woodhead returned punts? I don't think...
So he doesn't get killed?
I mean, that's the easy answer. I don't
There's
think...
There's a lot of tiny returners.
Yeah.
All these beer men.
I don't know how... I don't know how quick and fast... I mean, he's quick, I guess, but I don't know how fast he is.
Well, I think he's pretty quick and fast.
He's definitely quick.
You don't have a good answer, do you?
I don't have a great answer. I do... There's plenty of guys. You're right. There are plenty of guys that are small like him.
Yeah.
Over the years that have returned punts, little waterbug kind of punt returners that have been quite successful at it.
Is it because he's too valuable elsewhere?
That can't be. I mean, Wes Welker was the guy last year.
But
up until Edelman finally took it away
from him.
You have
to have somebody you trust. And I could argue, I don't know that it's that he's as valuable as anybody because they don't have anybody else. And they certainly didn't have anybody else last year for the role that is huge on this team, correct? I mean,
yes,
that third down roll, that draws, that dump off side of the backfield screens is a major part of this team's offense.
I totally agree.
Whereas, yes, Wes Welker's huge, but you still have Deion Branch. You still have other aspects of the passing game. You still had the tight ends. Whereas you didn't have anybody if you got lucky with Woodhead. You didn't really have anybody when Falk went down. And then you found Woodhead. What are the chances you find another guy like that? So I think value plays into it.
I do agree with you. And I also think that Julian Edelman is proving to be
special,
very, very good at that.
I've dubbed him special.
So I don't think that, while I don't think he'll ever be anything truly special as a wide receiver, I do think he is good enough as a wide receiver to substantiate a roster spot and then be a very productive return guy. He's more than just a return guy because he can contribute on offense, but I think you're right. I think he's special. I think he's becoming special. We have some emails coming in, Andy, too, while you're continuing to peruse the Twitter line. Again,
there's one girl here with a nice tweet.
Nice. And try to get those hashtags, PPGS.
Anyone on the Twitter
right now? When you're sending
anything
into the Patriots pregame social.
Look up at Rona Herrarte 622. RONAHERRARTE 622. You won't be sorry.
Are you finished?
Yeah. That's Rona Herrarte 622.
Randy is in Cave Springs, Arkansas. I wonder if he's a big Ryan Mallett fan.
Is that near Texarkana?
I don't know, but I do know that he likes us, Andy. It's pretty
well. Then
cool.
I like him.
He says he has some. He likes the show, and he's been really getting into it. He's a newbie. He's just starting to listen to some of our stuff online here at Patriots.com Radio. But he has a question here that I'll give to you. As a new Patriots fan, I'd never watched a Coach Belichick press conference. Is he always so short with the media?
Yep. When he's really long.
He comes off as if he hates the media.
Really?
What do you think of that?
I think he hates the media. No, I actually don't think he hates the media. I think he
hates a strong word.
I think he
hates the
role. I think
he doesn't like having to do it.
As the old Parcells line, I'm in the business of collecting information, not dispensing it.
Well put.
I don't think Bill hates everybody in that room personally.
No, I don't think he does.
He hates that he knows they're going to ask about Albert Haynesworth, and they're going to ask about the injury to this guy, and they're going to ask about this. And I think he hates that aspect of the game that he has to do as a head coach. He loves football. He loves scheme. He doesn't love some of the other stuff that goes with it. And that goes with it.
Yeah, I agree. We have more photos coming in. Pam has sent another one in for the Facebook page. So thank you for doing that. I want to encourage fans, get the emails coming in. Get the pictures of your tailgate. We have a nice home game with beautiful weather here in Foxborough at Gillette Stadium. So get those. Kevin and Matt will get those up. Hit up the Ace Ticket hotline at 508-298-0398, and we'll be back after this.
So, any progress since last week?
I'm afraid not, Doctor.
Oh, come on! Where's the flag?
See? Like I'm not even here.
Nancy, care to respond?
I'm sorry, the path we're driving. What?
Bob said he feels ignored.
Run it! Run the ball!
Ever since she got NFL mobile from Verizon, I'm practically invisible.
Invisible. Interesting. Let's focus on that.
I'm right here, Nancy.
He's open! Throw it! Throw it! Touchdown, Patriots! Yes!
Nancy, put the vase down. Do not spike the vase.
Woo! That's what I'm talking about!
That's the sixth one this week.
Up top, Doc!
Patriots fans? Yeah, they're obsessed. And nothing feeds their need for Pats football like NFL Mobile. Never miss another touchdown on Sunday afternoon with NFL Red Zone. Text NFL to 89115 and let the football insanity begin. Verizon, official wireless provider of the New England Patriots. Message and data rates may apply. Available on select smartphones. Coverage not available everywhere.
So, Carly.
Yeah?
Just a heads up. This Angus burger right here, I love it. So, I tend to stop talking when I eat it. I don't want you to think I'm ignoring you. It's just I'll be checked out for 3 or 4 minutes.
Wait, what? I kind of stop listening when I eat a Big Mac.
I love you.
The classic, one-of-a-kind taste of the Big Mac sandwich and the big, bold taste of the Angus Third Pounder. So much flavor, you'll want to take your time with them. McDonald's, the simple joy of burgers. At participating McDonald's.
Okay, I'll have the Giganto Burger with cheese combo.
Oh, will that be all?
That's it.
Go, Pats!
What?
If you're like this man, you have what is known as a healthy obsession with the Patriots.
Hi, just the jeans today?
Yeah, thanks.
Go Pats!
Okay, that was weird.
I know, right?
At Bank of America, we understand, and we can help.
I'll just take this when you're ready.
Oh, here you go.
Go Pats!
Indeed, go Pats.
With Patriots checking from Bank of America, you can do more than just tell the world about your loyalty. You can show them by getting the Patriots logo on your checks and debit cards.
I say, here's a baguette. Go long.
I'm open.
Whoops. Ask your Bank of America associate if Patriots checking is right for you. Or go to bankofamerica.com/patriots.
Bank of America NA, member FDIC. Copyright 2010, Bank of America Corporation. And account setup fee may apply in some states.
Patriot Place in Foxborough is New England's premier entertainment, dining, and shopping destination. Experience the Hall at Patriot Place, presented by Raytheon, an interactive museum dedicated to the history of New England football. The family will want to check out the latest summer movie at Showcase Cinema Deluxe, or a concert or comedy show at Showcase Live. Shop retailers and the region's only Bass Pro Shops. And of course, there's always dinner and drinks as you dine outdoors and take in the sunset or the view overlooking Gillette Stadium. Experience world-class medical care at Brigham and Women's Mass General Healthcare Visitor Center, located on-site at Patriot Place. The region's only four-star hotel, the Renaissance Hotel and Spa, offers luxurious accommodations, including the ultimate in pampering at Spa Epoche. Special events are always happening at Patriot Place, from Kids Club Storytime every Tuesday to the area's largest classic car display. Patriot Place is located in Foxborough, next to Gillette Stadium, and parking is free. Visit patriot-place.com for complete store and restaurant hours and event listings. Patriot Place. Shop, dine, enjoy.
All right, fact. McDonald's Chicken McNuggets.
This is Patriots linebacker Gerard Mayo, and you are listening to the Patriots pregame social from the Patriots Facebook page.
And we're back to the Patriots pregame social here on the official Patriots Facebook page, where Paul Perillo was caught with his pants down. Not literally.
He's reading emails.
But figuratively. He's the host of this show, but I had to step in capably at the mic here live from our Subway Fresh broadcast studios inside Gillette Stadium.
Jeez, you said that like you weren't even reading it, Andy. Well
okay,
done.
Okay, go ahead.
Oh, that was it? You're done now?
Yeah.
I apologize. I was reading some emails as we
Not
came
Not really
in.
Your fault. He started a commercial, stopped the commercial.
No,
and
the thing just started, kept playing, and I was like, what the hell?
Oh, so we were supposed to come back, because I thought we were coming back before that last commercial.
Then they started a McNuggets commercial.
You know, damn McNuggets.
As they said, I thought I made a mistake once, but I was wrong.
All right.
Anyway, emails are coming in.
I made a mistake once when we said, who should host this show? I said you.
Oh, shut up. I'm glad the photos continue to come in, Andy. We'll get those up on the Facebook page. Matt and Kevin
Joshua
working hard to get those up on the...
Joshua says... Paul, Andy, silence.
What's that?
How we came out of that break.
Well, what are you going to do? These things happen. These things happen. I do want to relay one bit of news. Yesterday, the Patriots claimed cornerback Antoine Molden.
Wow, the Ravens gave up on him?
No. Cornerback, not wide receiver.
Antoine,
not Anquan. Molden, not Bolden, from Houston, not Baltimore.
Probably would have heard a lot more of that had it been Anquan Bolden.
Right.
Now, probably would have heard a lot when he got cut, too.
To make room for him, the Patriots officially placed Marcus Cannon
on... The aforementioned?
Reserve NFI. We talked about Cannon a lot in the first segment. So that left the Patriots roster set at 80. And Molden, I would imagine, will be on the field tonight. I wouldn't see any reason why not, although not a whole lot of preparation time for him, but...
Not a lot less than Buddy Farnham.
Again, another guy that needs to get out there because someone's got to play in this game.
And we've talked about that even before they had cuts and Will Hite left. The guys vying for positions and roster spots were the same guys who were in the opportunity portions of practice. The bottom end of their cornerback depth chart was empty. They had no guys.
Right.
You know, they had starters and a couple guys vying for backup jobs and nothing else. That's why Buddy Farnham's played so much.
Generally, we spend our entire show talking about the Patriots and the Patriots' perspective, but... Interesting guy to watch tonight on the Giants, a guy that almost every Patriots fan wanted to see New England sign as an undrafted free agent. That's Mark Herzlich. He'll be out there tonight. Andy, you had quite a lot of dealing with him at the Combine, I think. He spoke a lot there. He was a big part of the coverage, was he not?
The most impressive player I've ever seen at the Combine. Very, very polished as a speaker, and understandably so. He's been through a lot. I'm sure he's done a lot of interviews. I'm sure he's done a lot of charitable things where he has to speak and helps raise money. But he's a very impressive guy. I don't know anyone on earth, and if you're a Patriots fan, I know he's going to be on the other team tonight, but you got to be rooting for him to make the Giants team, to have an NFL career. You know, this is a guy that could have been a top 10 draft pick when he was the ACC Defensive Player of the Year a couple of years ago, then battled cancer, has never yet regained that form, but you got to be rooting for him to just be a special teamer in the league for a while. He loves football. You know, he's excited about everything. You read his tweets, and he was excited to get to Providence last night to play the Patriots and all that. You just can't root against him.
I haven't read much in New York about how he's played at all, or, you know, if he has a chance or a legitimate chance to do just that, what you talked about.
We can find out later when we talk to Jim Schwartz.
That is one of the guys that it's Paul, I believe.
Paul.
Yes, Paul.
Paul Schwartz.
Yes, from the New York Post. So that'll be one guy that we will ask about. you know, listen, I didn't get a chance to, you know, as you know, Andy, I don't go to the combine.
Well, believe me, I know.
So I didn't get a chance to witness firsthand, but was I came away every bit as impressed with Mark Herzlich, the person, as you were. So,
and as a player,
I think we do wish him well.
Why not take a shot? I mean, yeah. A guy who once had top 10 talent, take a shot. If he gets it back, if it took a couple years to come back from cancer, you know, take a shot. What's the worst that you can get? You're not getting into trouble. You're not getting a guy that's going to cause problems in the locker room or at any point. You're getting a good guy, so why not? If yeah. not, as I've said before, he can go start making $10,000 a speech or whatever those motivational speakers make when they make corporate appearances, because he has a future in that role, or maybe in the media. Maybe he could be a college football analyst or something of that nature, because very well-spoken, very talented, smart guy.
Well, let's get back to the Ace Ticket hotline and hit up Sean in New Hampshire. Sean, you're next on the Patriots pregame hey. Social.
Hey, how's it going, guys?
It's going great, Sean.
You're all jacked up. I can hear it in your voice.
Man, I was disappointed with the O-line, and I don't want to get my hopes up. But honestly, I kind of have agreed with your analysis about they moved away from throwing the ball 40 times to more of running 30 times, passing 25 to 30 times, and I just didn't see it. And I think they're struggling with that transition on offense. And I want to know
You think that the Patriots are going to be a little bit more balanced, you know, 50-50?
Yeah, I think the fact that they – yeah, because I agree with the analysis that you had that they drafted the two running backs to compensate for him having to drop back 40 times. And I agree with that.
Well, it's interesting.
So I'd like to see that.
I don't know that we
they struggle with the pass defense.
Yeah, I don't know that we necessarily said that, but it's an aspect of this team as you look at it the way it's constructed. They drafted two running backs relatively high. They drafted two tight ends, one of which is not just a pass catcher, but a dominating blocker. I think those tight ends, quite frankly, are going to be the focal point of the offense moving forward. Because you have the Dallas Clark type in Aaron Hernandez, the slot receiver who can make plays, mismatches. You have Rob Gronkowski who can be a dominating blocker and then also be a dominating weapon in the passing game, which means you don't have to give away what you're doing. You don't have to be totally predictable. Oh, this guy's our blocking tight end. This guy's our receiving tight end. You have versatility there. If you can get these young backs to develop into versatile weapons where you say Ridley isn't just a first down back, he's not just a third down back. If you can be more deceptive in your personnel packages,
yeah.
I think that would allow them to be more balanced. But the big question with that is, will the offensive line be ready? That's the question.
Yeah, and Sean, I don't know what the numbers will be in terms of running and passing. I don't think this offense, as long as Tom Brady is here, when the game is in the balance, when the game is to be won, say the first three quarters of a game, I don't see them being balanced running and passing. I see them being a pass-first offense. Now, it may end up close to 50-50 because I think this is going to be a very good football team, and I think they're going to be protecting a lot of leads in the fourth quarter, and that's when you run the ball. And if that happens, I think that that might take a 65-35 ratio and make it closer to 55-45 when it's all said and done. But I think that this team is still Tom Brady's team, and that's the way they have some younger running backs, but I still don't think it's going to be a run first team.
I wouldn't disagree. I think that what I saw last game really disappointed. Just from that, if it's still going to be, number 12's team,
yeah,
they need to do a heck of a lot better job on that.
Well, the most disappointing aspect for me is Sebastian Vollmer, because he's supposed to be one of the stable core guys of that line, you know. You lost Stephen Neal. Dan Copen's getting older. You don't know yet what Solder is. You have Mankins locked up. Sebastian Vollmer is supposed to be a second-team All-Pro right tackle, which he was last year. I thought he got undressed in Detroit, and I don't think he's had a very good preseason. I don't think he had a good start to the season last year. So I'm a little concerned about him. Typically, as Bill would say, most teams are right-handed. They run to the right. That's their power guy. Obviously, Solder is not a power guy to start his career. That makes me a little bit concerned as to what Nate Solder is at this point.
Yeah, and I agree with you about Vollmer. He has been a little bit disappointing. But and again, thanks for the call, Sean. I do think that the pass protection has been periodically a problem, but I might sound hypocritical, or maybe I'm being, you could accuse me of being a little bit, in favor of the home team here that we work for. But I just don't see on a consistent basis pass protection being a problem. It has periodically been a problem in some big spots. For example, I think a lot of people have put that game against the Jets last year on the offensive line. I think the offensive line was well down on the list of problems in that game. Against the Ravens, it absolutely was a problem in 2009. Against the Giants, it was the number one problem in 2007 in the game that shall not be named.
I think it was a little bit of a problem.
I didn't say they were blameless.
The problem has been when teams aren't blitzing, when they're only sending three and four, they're getting there sometimes.
See,
I thought
they had all day to throw in that game with the exception of one of those five sacks. I think they only had pressure on one of those. They had Drew Coleman came on a blindside blitz out of the slot and buried Brady on a blindside hit. Sean Ellis, Brady had more than 5 seconds to throw on both of those sacks.
But part of the problem is if you're going to develop into an offense that scans the field and, you know, we're going to – Well,
yeah,
you need time
I know where
to
you're
do
going.
That. You know what I mean? There's an aspect to that.
You could also say they were only rushing three. He should have had 15 seconds
right,
to throw.
Right.
And I get that. I just don't.
So that's
why I said they're not
blameless.
I'm not trying to say that let's give them a free pass. I don't think that the offensive line was as bad as five sacks would indicate in that Jets game.
Probably not.
That's
but
all I'm saying.
My issue is
against
one of
the Giants,
guys
it was.
Who should be a strength hasn't yet shown that he's going to be a consistent strength moving forward when other areas of the line are going to be in flux. You know, you have at least two, maybe three positions of the line that over the next year or so will be in flux. Right guard, left tackle, and potentially center could be positions that are kind of on the move. I need Vollmer and Mankins to be stable. And right now I know Mankins is. I'm not saying he's perfect. I'm not saying he's the greatest guard to ever play the game.
Yeah.
But I know what I'm going to get. Vollmer, I'm not sure what I'm going to get just yet.
And you made a good point about the pressure that seems to bother Brady most. Is that interior pressure.
Oh, yeah.
When you get up the middle, he can't step up, and you get around his feet, he seems like he's a different guy. I mean, everybody is. That's the kind of pressure that bothers him most.
You know, he always looked like he was running in sand, but he was able to slide, step up. Maybe he's lost a half a step there.
I don't think
that's
there's
an
any
issue.
Doubt.
I got a quick tweet that I think is a topic a lot of people might be interested in. We talked about all the guys who we expect to see fighting for jobs. Our good friend Joshua, ATVA, on the Twitter, wants to know if we're going to see Fat Albert tonight at all.
I wouldn't rule it out, but I'm leaning toward no.
I would say no.
I don't think we're going to see him until the regular season. I don't think you're going to see Ellis until the regular season. I would love to see one or both, even for a cameo, but I just don't think we're going to.
Yeah, I don't think we're going to. I'm not all that shaken up over it. I'll be ready for them on Monday Night Football to make a Moss-like debut.
Okay, let's get back to the Ace Ticket Hotline and hit up our old friend Joey Feep down in Florida. Joey, how goes it?
Hey, Paul, Andy, how you guys doing?
What's up?
Doing great.
First of all, let me. How'd you guys weather Irene? Okay.
Yeah, we're fine.
Yeah, we were
at Gillette Stadium. I don't know if you heard, we got power back like that.
Okay, that's good.
I'm up a little bit further north of Boston, and we escaped it pretty much entirely, which we were quite fortunate.
Okay, well, that's good, because, you know, you see the news. Before it got, you know, when it was still down in the Caribbean here, I had people, obviously friends up there on Facebook asking me, am I worried? I kept telling them, hey, you're the one that should be worried.
Yeah, and there was a lot of legitimate damage here. You know, Vermont got absolutely killed with water. And a lot of people are still without power around here. They're slowly getting it back on. But there's still a lot of communities, Rhode Island, southeastern Massachusetts, without power.
Yeah, so that's, I just wanted to make sure you guys made it through. Okay,
no, I appreciate that, and I hope everything is well down there as well.
Oh, it's a beautiful night. Beautiful. It's beautiful. I'm on the west coast of Florida, as you know. I'm going to try and go to the Miami game. Me and a buddy are trying to get tickets as we speak. So if I get over there, I'll give you a call and give you a heads up. Oh, you guys would be at the game, wouldn't you?
No, we'll be here. We'll be doing the pregame social a week from Monday night, our first regular season edition of the Patriots pregame social.
I thought you went on. Don't you go to all the games?
Yeah,
we used to,
but this is the first year Andy and I are going to stay back and do this. And Eric and Fred will be out at Sun Life Stadium for the opener.
Oh, okay, all right. Well, me and my buddy are going to try and get tickets and go over and see the opening game in Miami.
You know, Joey,
I'll give you a call.
Okay, Joey, I see in your you wanted to talk about Welker. I'll jump in here and give you some information that's coming with some of the on some of the Twitter feeds. He has been out on the field this evening in his game pants. I would doubt that he's going to play, but he is out there taking part in the pregame warm-up. It looks like the injury won't keep him out that long. He's been chatting with players and going through a light workout. So I would say that all signs look pretty positive for Welker, even though he didn't practice on Tuesday, I guess it was, the last time they practiced. He did not practice that day, but he did speak to the media and told them that he felt pretty good after making that tackle last week in Detroit.
Well, that's great, great information. I appreciate that, Paul, because, you know, I assumed the shroud of mystery was going to descend on that. He's going to be going, I'm fine, and then, you know, you don't see him for a week, a game, and then you start wondering, and you never find out anything. So that sounds very positive. I appreciate that, Paul.
Yeah, no,
so if you get tickets, you'll see him.
Yeah, well, I'm going to try. We're going to, me and a buddy are going to try and get over there and see that game. I'd love to get over there.
Well, give us a call either way, Joey, and thanks for the call tonight. One of our longtime listeners, too. Joey Feep goes back a long way on PFW in progress. So
with your fin up, take a picture with your fin up in the. Do they still do that?
Well,
it's not Landshark Stadium anymore. It's Sun Life.
Yeah, I don't know if they'll do that. I don't know if they'll do that anymore.
Plus, J-Lo's out. Is she still in? Which one of those owned part of the team?
See, I was going to do an Andy Hart joke there, but I didn't.
No, it was kind of a serious question.
They got
divorced. Which one gets the share of the team?
I don't know how that works. I don't have the answer to your question.
Will Spikes play tonight? That's coming in from Bar Hiker on Twitter.
What do you think of that?
I do think he might play.
Yeah, he practiced all week,
He practiced, and I think he needs to play a little bit. I mean, he's not Gerard Mayo. I mean, the guy's been in the league a year, and he's in and out of the lineup, and I need to see some reps from him. He damn well better play.
Do you think there's any chance, and this is from Anthony, it's from David. Do you think there's any chance, that was my Fred Kirsch.
Yes, I know.
That Matt Light slides over to guard and Nate Solder plays left tackle. Maybe not at the start, but at some point.
Maybe at some point. I think there's a better chance at the start that Nate Solder plays a little guard and Matt Light plays tackle.
Yeah, I wonder if you'll see Solder play guard tonight.
Maybe. You definitely could. I mean, they're down bodies there with Wendell and Conley out and Ornberger not competing for portions of last week's game.
I thought he was like Brady, not competing for a parking spot.
But I do think maybe next year you could see Light vying for a guard spot. The second year of that two-year deal, Solder slides into what is his future home and long-term home. I think there's a chance of that. Be interesting. What would really be interesting is if this year it's Light at left tackle, Solder at right guard, and next year it becomes Solder at left tackle, Light at right guard.
You know, Andy, these game nights can be long nights for us. We're here all day and then through the night working and writing and trying to get everything edited. But that's nothing compared to what Paul goes through. Paul's in Glasgow, Scotland. And he's trying to stay up till about 4 a.m. to watch the whole game tonight. Probably won't happen, but preseason games are hard to stay awake for.
Why?
But he just wants to let us
know. No offense. We love you listening, watching.
He's listening. He wants us to have a great evening. But so we don't have it that bad.
No. Our lot in life's pretty good now.
That's where Fred would jump in. Like, see, Andy, it's not as bad as you say.
I'm not sure Fred would jump in. I asked him if he was coming in tomorrow, and he said, I might be in by noon. It's supposed to be a half day around here. We want to leave by noon, not arrive at noon, Fred. But I digress.
Your old pal, Brooklyn Matt, chiming in. Hi, Andy.
Oh, boy.
Remember last Saturday night's broadcast when I asked you what you were wearing? Well, following along that vein and seeing it's Patriots social and all, I'd like to ask, this dance? Kevin, cue up Welker's, I don't know.
It's a little
drop in.
I think that's, I don't know. It's kind of gay.
And if you rebuff me, I'll ask Paul, even though he may be hurt being my second choice and all.
I don't know if you'll be able to reach your arms around his neck.
I'll tell you.
Stand so far away. What?
Why do you have to be so hurtful?
I have some tweets coming in since Matt offered absolutely nothing in his email.
Why don't you go play with
his tweets? Funny because he's fat.
Any given Sunday, and spell that like the ice cream, not the day, do you expect Ocho to get a lot of time tonight to get in the flow of the offense, or it is what it is? I do not.
I don't think he'll play much
because he needs
tonight.
To get in the flow with number 1-2.
Right.
And numero 1-2 won't be playing very much.
I think there's a chance that those guys could get a series or two. But I wouldn't expect him to go much longer than that. Do you?
No.
And I also don't think it will have anything to do depending on how satisfied or dissatisfied Bill Belichick was with the performance in Detroit. Do you? I've seen that a lot.
Well, because he said it. That's where I think that stems from.
I know,
from.
But I think he's going to play them tonight. Whatever he decides, let's just say for argument's sake, he wants to play them for 15 snaps tonight.
Mm-hmm.
He's going to play them for 15 snaps tonight. He's not going to say, they're not playing well enough. They didn't play well enough in Detroit. I'm going to keep them out there. I don't think.
Oh, I think it's got nothing to do with tonight. Yeah. Absolutely nothing.
Yeah, that's
but he said
performance is my
the performance in Detroit could affect how he plays tonight's game.
Yeah, I just don't think it's going to be the lone determining factor that I think some people are leading us to believe. Last year, for example, they played the starters played in the fourth preseason game, and they rarely do. They don't, Brady has not played in the fourth preseason game more than he has. But yet he did last year. So, listen, who knows exactly what's going to happen? It's almost impossible to predict with Belichick. But, another guy that I'm worried about now that I'm looking at these emails, Andy, I'm starting to worry about? Lee Bodden.
I would.
He hasn't practiced in a long time.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. I have him in my mind opposite Devin McCourty, giving them, as you know, the second best cornerback tandem in the division.
Right.
If he's not out there and all these guys bump up a slot, Arrington's back as a starter, Butler has to play all the time, that's a concern. That's a major concern. And last year it was kind of, Lee Bodden. Oh, Lee Bodden's on IR?
Well, that's what happened. We didn't know how serious that was. That was maybe the most stunning aspect of the transactions last year, was all of a sudden they came out and Bodden was placed on IR. That was a huge loss.
Yeah.
So I hope it's not heading down a road similar to that.
We have no reason to believe it.
I remember somebody reported, I don't remember Bill saying this, but someone reported that Bill said it wasn't that serious. So I don't know if there's any validity to that, but it's something Mark in Salem, Mass, he loves the pregame social, by the way.
PPGS, if you're twitting it.
He wanted to ask about him. Before the injury, it looked like during each of the first two games, he was coming in later in the game and staying in longer than some of the other starters on defense. I know that the nickel corner is basically a starter at this point in the NFL, but shouldn't Bodden be an outside corner and playing inside, or is Kyle Arrington that much better in the Patriots' eyes? I may be the only person who owns a Lee Bodden jersey, and I love the way he plays, so I really hope he is a major contributor this year if he can get healthy.
I think Lee Bodden is the starter, the outside guy. Now, I think they could all get reps on the inside in various packages, matchups, week to week, if a team has a bigger slot receiver, a smaller slot receiver, however they decide to play it. I think your top two corners in traditional sets are Bodden and McCourty. And Arrington looks like he slid into that number three role. But they've all rotated on the inside at various points in training camp, but more Arrington inside than Bodden.
Tyler in Georgia has a...
He just did the New England thing.
Tyla in Georgia. Yeah, I said
Tyla. You took the R off the word that has an R.
I said the Tyla in Georgia.
Added it to the word that doesn't.
Yeah, absolutely.
And then you pulled a Fred Kirsch and talked away from the mic.
I do that from time to time. The Boston accent sneaks up on me from time to time very badly. Because
tough streets of Everett.
It took me a while to... I used to have a really, really bad Boston accent. I know that you can still tell where I'm from, but it's not anywhere near as noticeable. But he found a huge mistake in Madden... regarding the Patriots. Said he was watching some YouTube videos of the new Madden game and he noticed a massive error. I was absolutely in shock when I heard the announcer say, "And Merriweather makes the tackle." I had to back up the video to make sure I heard it correctly.
That's well done.
So
don't laugh at him anymore. And speaking of safeties, utter lack of respect from this organization, and I don't know that I can stand by and allow it to occur. Mike Reese, our friend again, tweets out that Antoine Molden, the cornerback, is on the field stretching, wearing number 36. That just ain't right.
Yeah. Well, I figured he had to be.
The jersey was barely cold, Jimmy.
You going to be all right?
No.
Should we take a break and allow you to regain your
Only if it's at the
composure?
Scheduled time. Well, otherwise, I have plenty of tweets to read. They're coming in fast and furious.
Why don't you read a couple of tweets?
How about a Bodden-related one? Based on
the
what
break,
we just,
let's read a few tweets.
Based on what we just said... If Bodden goes on IR, would you give a second rounder for Samuel? I'd do it in a heartbeat. That's him saying it, and then I'll just say ditto.
Oh, I would give a second rounder for Samuel if Bodden is healthy.
Right, but definitely then, because I'd be concerned about the cornerback position.
Yeah, obviously it adds the the urgency.
Arrington was a nice story last year. He wasn't a great player.
And I think that he is fine in a secondary role. I think he will become a better player this year if he's not asked to play 60 snaps a game. It's kind of like my Gary Guyton theory. I think Gary Guyton is a good player. And I know you always make fun of me for this, because every time he makes a play in sub packages, I get all excited. I go, that's what I think Guyton can do, and I get all giddy. But I think in that role, he can be a valuable player. But as an every down linebacker, he scares the bejesus out of me.
Scares the bejesus out of you?
Yeah, I don't like him on an every down basis. But
I don't think Bill Belichick does either.
No, I mean, it's clear that he doesn't, because he's lost his job over the last 2 years. He hasn't played on a full-time basis, but I do think he can be valuable.
And they could use the cap room acquired by letting go of James Sanders to eat Asante Samuel's salary, which I believe is $6 million.
Yeah, I know his cap hit was really high in Philly, but that...
Oh, yeah, we don't have to worry about that.
That would include bonus, yeah, and Patriots wouldn't have to worry about that.
I think he had a pretty good salary, though, too.
Yeah, I think he does, too. So keep the tweets coming. Andy Hart is all over the Twitter feed. Patriots pregame social. Make sure you put a hashtag on it, PPGS. The Ace Ticket Hotline is open, 508-298-0398. Now's the time to get in.
So, Carly.
Yeah?
Just a heads up. This Angus burger right here, I love it. So, I tend to stop talking when I eat it. I don't want you to think I'm ignoring you. It's just I'll be checked out for 3 or 4 minutes.
Wait, what? I kind of stop listening when I eat a Big Mac.
I love you.
The classic, one-of-a-kind taste of the Big Mac sandwich and the big, bold taste of the Angus Third Pounder. So much flavor, you'll want to take your time with them. McDonald's, the simple joy of burgers. At participating McDonald's.
So, any progress since last week?
I'm afraid not, Doctor.
Oh, come on! Where's the flag?
See? Like I'm not even here.
Nancy, care to respond?
I'm sorry, the path we're driving. What?
Bob said he feels ignored.
Run it! Run the ball!
Ever since she got NFL mobile from Verizon, I'm practically invisible.
Invisible. Interesting. Let's focus on that.
I'm right here, Nancy.
He's open! Throw it! Throw it! Touchdown, Patriots! Yes!
Nancy, put the vase down. Do not spike the vase.
Woo! That's what I'm talking about!
That's the 6th one this week.
Up top, Doc!
Patriots fans? Yeah, they're obsessed. And nothing feeds their need for Pats football like NFL mobile. Never miss another touchdown on Sunday afternoon with NFL Red Zone. Text NFL to 8915 and let the football insanity begin. Verizon, official wireless provider of the New England Patriots. Message and data rates may apply. Available on select smartphones. Coverage not available everywhere.
Okay, I'll have the Giganto Burger with Cheese Combo.
Oh, will that be all?
That's it.
Go Pats! What?
If you're like this man, you have what is known as a healthy obsession with the Patriots.
Hi, just the jeans today?
Yeah, thanks.
Go Pats!
Okay, that was weird.
I know, right?
At Bank of America, we understand, and we can help. I'll just take this when you're ready.
Oh, here you go.
Go Pats!
Indeed, go Pats.
With Patriots checking from Bank of America, you can do more than just tell the world about your loyalty. You can show them by getting the Patriots logo on your checks and debit cards.
I say, here's a baguette. Go long.
I'm open.
Whoops. Ask your Bank of America associate if Patriots checking is right for you. Or go to bankofamerica.com/patriots.
Bank of America N.A. Member FDIC. Copyright 2010 Bank of America Corporation. And account setup fee may apply in some states.
Patriot Place in Foxborough is New England's premier entertainment, dining, and shopping destination. Experience the Hall at Patriot Place, presented by Raytheon, an interactive museum dedicated to the history of New England football. The family will want to check out the latest summer movie at Showcase Cinema Deluxe, or a concert or comedy show at Showcase Live, shop retailers, and the region's only Bass Pro Shops. And of course, there's always dinner and drinks as you dine outdoors and take in the sunset or the view overlooking Gillette Stadium. Experience world-class medical care at Brigham and Women's Mass General Health Care Center, located on site at Patriot Place. The region's only four-star hotel, the Renaissance Hotel and Spa, offers luxurious accommodations, including the ultimate in pampering at Spa Epochere. Special events are always happening at Patriot Place, from Kids Club Storytime every Tuesday to the area's largest classic car display. Patriot Place is located in Foxborough next to Gillette Stadium, and parking is free. Visit patriot-place.com for complete store and restaurant hours and event listings. Patriot Place. Shop, dine, enjoy.
This is Patriots defensive end Sean Ellis, and I get ready for every game with Paul Perello and Andy Hart on the Patriots pregame social, live on the Patriots Facebook page.
I hadn't heard that one.
I hadn't either, and I talked to him the day that he did it, and I can hear the dip in his mouth.
Oh, yeah.
He definitely had it.
That's...
You can also hear the Ty Warren in his voice.
Good guy to help us out.
It's funny.
He's a very nice man.
It's the same number. He's in the same locker. He has a similar look, and he definitely sounds the same as Ty Warren, which is a compliment, a high compliment in PFW land for Sean Ellis, because Ty Warren is one of the all-time best.
Mm-hmm.
He also wanted to change the name of the show. He thought it should be called the Patriots Pregame Special. He goes,
it's not special. It's every week.
The first take, he goes, "You're listening to the Patriots Pregame Special." And I'm like, "It's social." And he goes, "Well, it should be special."
But it's not special. First of all, it's not special because we're not special, but it's also every week.
I just thought he should talk to Fred about, hey, it's a very special edition of...
I'm just wondering if he has any idea whatsoever who Paul Perillo and or Andy Hart are.
No, he definitely
did.
Did you introduce
yourself to him that day by any chance?
I think I did.
So maybe he made... Oh, yeah, I think I just said that name.
Probably not.
Yeah,
I wouldn't if I were him. It would go in one ear, out the other.
Anyway, if you haven't been able to tell, we're back for the second hour of the Patriots pregame social here on the Facebook page, patriots.com. We have all kinds of emailers coming in, webradio@patriots.com. If you want to join them, again, it's webradio@patriots.com, the Ace Ticket Hotline. You can give us a call, 508-298-0398.
Want to play a game?
I would love to play a game here inside the Subway Fresh Broadcast Studios. No, I don't.
Paid read you need to do?
No, I don't.
Okay.
I don't really get any money for this, Andy. I don't know if
you
know.
No, I didn't mean we get paid. Somebody
pays. Well, you said a paid read. I don't know.
Somebody gets paid.
Yeah.
Not us.
It ain't us.
Right.
So I don't have anything.
I'm going to run down my list.
I have no responsibilities here whatsoever.
Of 10 men to keep an eye on tonight who are fighting for jobs, and I just want you to tell me, as of 4 p.m. Saturday, will the name I throw at you be on the roster or off? Very simple. On or off? When you're on your couch watching Oregon LSU Saturday night, will these players be on the Patriots? James Ahedebo.
On.
Josh Barrett.
Off.
Rich Ornberger.
Off.
Ooh. Will Yateman.
On.
Lee Smith.
Off.
Nico Koudavides.
Off.
Tracy White.
Off.
Wow, both?
Yes.
Interesting. And now will there be a surprise in there? One of the young Tarpinians or...
No.
Okay. Just checking. Richard Medlin won't make it. Sorry.
Off.
And James Dirth.
On.
For how long?
Till he...
Should he
snaps
rent
one
or
over
buy?
Someone's head. Rent.
Yeah. I would advise any long snapper to rent. You know what this makes people do?
Appreciate Lonnie Paxton?
Yes. How absolutely tremendous he was.
And how good he was with the ladies.
Well, that's true, too. But some of the others, Bin got cut by San Diego, another longtime long snapper, and it's been brought, and I actually said, keep an eye on him because he could be next in line if this guy is out, given the dearth of talent at the long snapping position.
Are you going to say that every time you talk about this?
At least till he's cut. But Bin is apparently dating Pamela Anderson.
Yeah, no, I had heard that.
So I'm very much in favor of him being added to the roster. No offense to James Dirth, and I'm sure he has a fine-looking woman, wife, whatever. But Pamela Anderson, she was one of my boyhood crushes on Baywatch.
The reason I...
Plenty of tweets, by the way, if you want to get to them.
Well, you raised the eyebrows when I said no to
both. Talked
about
Pamela Anderson, it raised your eyebrows. Now you know you're old. Okay, go ahead.
When I said no to both Nico and Tracy White, I think it took you a little bit by surprise. The reason I did
Williams
that is
got cut.
I now feel that those linebackers are held. I think Spikes and Fletcher returning to practice, I think.
Yeah, but don't you need a core linebacker special teams guy?
Listen, maybe.
Who do you have filling that role?
You might be right. One of those guys will make it for that reason, but I'm not sure that.
Because both those other guys are already hurt.
I mean,
Fletcher and Spike.
Yeah.
So even if you thought they were
going to
fill some of those roles, two of them are already hurt.
Yeah, but I think that they're going to be special teams players, Fletcher and Spikes.
Oh, probably.
Sure.
Depending on their health.
And I
obviously.
Think Guyton will be part of that as well. Listen, is it out of the realm of possibility? No, I only have like five or six linebackers making the team. So you need somebody to play in case of an emergency.
Right.
In addition to special teams. So one of those two guys is probably going to make it. I've been more impressed with Nico out of those two.
That was actually one of our tweets Let me find it here. I can't. This is from GasFace25. Explain the importance of T. White. Lots have him as a lock for the 53, but I think Nico has played much better. And BB loves Purdue linebackers. It's true. Rob Ninkovich, Rosie Colvin. Just to name two.
Or the two.
That's it.
Is there any others?
I don't know. Where'd Todd Collins go? Michigan State?
What does that have to do with Belichick?
He wasn't here. Didn't Todd Collins?
In like 97.
Bill was here in 96.
Yeah, he didn't draft him.
Move on. I think Koudavides has been better, but
I do too.
Tracy White is a known commodity as a special teamer here, much like Matthew Slater is a known commodity as a special teamer.
And
here.
That might end up being
now. No, Nico Koudavides is a known commodity as a special teamer league wide,
just not here. I have been impressed with Nico. I think he's got some decent athleticism.
Plus, what other team can have a Ninkovic and a Nico in their Nico package?
We do have some more polls to talk about on Facebook. Why do you chuckle every time?
I don't know why you're talking about Polish people.
Unbelievable. Kevin, what's our second poll? Can you get that up when you get a chance?
And get the poll up.
And let us know how that's going.
Get it up. It was which fringe player is under the most critical eye tonight in terms of making the squad?
Rich Orenberger.
The choices were Rich Orenberger, Josh Barrett, James Ahidobo, and Brandon Tate. And Brandon Tate is leading the way with 67% of the votes.
See, I think Tate is out. I'm not sure much that Tate can do tonight that will do anything. I think the guy who's in the spotlight is Orenberger because of last week. Anybody who watched that game is thinking, wow, Orenberger really stunk it up last week. And
well,
I think
that's what I did, but you yelled at me for it.
We also had a...
Yeah, because he went against Ndamukong Suh. Evidently, he's not going to play against any good defensive tackles if he has to play.
We had a quick phone
now
call.
Suh is just a good defensive tackle.
We had a quick phone call from the field. Eric checking in just to tease his hit at 7, saying that Welker is out there going through the motions, catching passes in warm-ups, and Sean Ellis is fully dressed out there as well.
Sean Ellis?
Listening to the pregame special.
It took him 4 weeks, but Eric finally contributed with a nugget of semi-relevant information.
He came in here and took us out of the break and then ran right out onto the field to start warming up is pretty much what happened.
Yeah,
that's cool.
We should say that in the past, guys have been dressed on the sideline for this game and not played. So
year, several years ago, where all the starters that weren't playing were in jeans in their game shirts, and it sort of turned into a frat party. And
right.
I don't think Belichick was happy with the sideline decorum.
Right.
And ever since, they've all been fully dressed. So I don't think you'll see that again.
Yeah, I don't either. So don't just assume that Sean Ellis is in uniform. It means he's going to play. He may play, he may not.
Yeah, so keep the emails coming. Keep the pictures coming. We're getting a lot of those up on the Facebook page of your tailgate. Want to know how you're watching the game tonight? How are you going about this? How important do you think this game is? Which guys are you looking at? As Andy pointed out at the top of the show, a lot of guys tonight that may be fighting their last fight. And it'll be interesting to see how that all unfolds. Nathan is from Southern California. He really enjoys our pregame
social. Where
they had
an earthquake, apparently, 4.3 earlier today on the Richter.
Nathan is big time in our corner, Andy. He really enjoys the show, and he has been doing a lot of work to help us spreading the word.
In SoCal, where there are some big fan clubs out there and a
Absolutely.
Big following on the West Coast. So we appreciate that, Nate. Tell him to use the hashtag, PPGS.
Andy Hart has an answer to your question, too, Nathan, because I know Andy and I have talked about this off air. He wants to know why in the world, he wants us to explain why in the world Belichick would keep the party starter and not re-sign Jarrod Page. I can't think of any legitimate reason. Please explain.
I think Jarrod Page wanted to be paid. I think he wanted more money than they deemed him worth. And at the time, they already had one overpaid safety on the roster in the name of James Sanders. And the agent
hurt a little
for
bit.
Jarrod Page was probably using Sanders' contract as some sort of a comp and just looking for too much money. I know they're very happy with Page in Philadelphia. From things I've read, tweets, and stories, they're happy with him down there. I am really disappointed. I know I fixated on the whole he was doing MMA. I liked his athleticism. A guy was drafted as a center fielder in baseball, size. I was just intrigued by his ability, and I wanted to see more of him. And especially now. Now it looks even worse because you don't have anybody after the starting two, Chung and Merriweather. No offense to Sergio Brown, but I don't know what he is.
Yeah, and I do want to let people know that at the time, I think, before the lockout is when Page was looking for that money, as you said.
Oh, yeah.
Because I think people might be looking, well, he's looking at, well, he didn't sign for, he didn't get it.
Right.
Now, the lockout sort of played a part in that. I think that when it got a little bit desperate for him, it was any port in a storm, and I think he ended up taking.
Still unfortunate because they
right.
signed
for the
McGowan.
Patriots, it doesn't matter, but I don't want people
I
would have
rather they had signed Page at whatever point
with,
they could
I
have.
I couldn't agree with you more. I just don't want people to think, well, he didn't really get anything in Philadelphia.
Right.
It wasn't
no.
a cheap thing.
Back when, way when.
Exactly.
You know what I'm saying?
Let's see. Before we, we're going to check in with Paul Schwartz of the New York Post and talk a little bit about the Giants. But before we do that, I want to stick with the emails here.
Can I give you a good tweet?
Sure. Anytime a good tweet comes out, I want to hear
PFW
about it.
PFW Eric with a rare good tweet. His first bit of information, having a big night here in the fourth preseason game. Looking to stick on the PFW roster, apparently. Heard news that he may be cut at the end of the game tonight. He is watching bubble players tonight, and offensive lineman Thomas Austin is warming up at center, which is interesting. He is a guard, obviously, for the most part, has moved around, but I don't know that I've seen him do much center. And so he looks like we'll get some snaps at center tonight.
That is an interesting point. Snaps at center?
Yeah.
I hear you. But the key element of that is what we talked about in the first hour. They didn't really have anybody that could play center. Ornberger has played center. I haven't been impressed with him. Ryan Wendell, or Wendell, I always call him Wendell. I don't know exactly how to pronounce his last name. I feel like he could play center, but he's been hurt for so long. So clearly they're trying to find a way to keep Thomas Austin and improve his versatility. I haven't seen him take many, if any, snaps.
Could Maneri and Austin be, could it
fighting
be
for
Solder?
One job?
Well, no, I was going to say, could it be Solder, Maneri, Austin as your three backups? That'd be a big jump for both those guys.
Yeah, I think Wendell is, if he's healthy, has got to be in the equation.
Oh, yeah, I forgot about him. If he's healthy.
But that's nine. I mean, you keep nine offensive linemen, only have seven active on game day.
And you have two right? tackles, two interior guys. It's a nice mix.
I think Maneri, I think that they like the, just the time that they've invested there. I think they've sort of moved him along. He was a college tight end.
That's why
they claimed him.
If they're looking for roster spots, Maneri makes it, Solder makes it. I think there's a chance they only keep two tight ends because both those guys can be your extra tight end. I mean, it's not ideal that you have your first round pick, the number 17 pick, out there playing in three tight end sets and kind of a jack of all trades. But he's used Richard Seymour. He's used guys that were high-profile players in other roles.
The thing that would make that difficult, I think, for Belichick is if he wanted to use Maneri in that role, he's a guy that probably wouldn't be active on game day. If he's the fourth tackle, he's probably going to be one of the offensive linemen
that's
inactive each week. So what do you do if you don't want to use, as you said, the 17th overall pick as a backup tackle? You know,
well, then maybe Solder's inactive.
Maybe you don't want to put too much on him, you know? So I don't know. I could go either way. But yeah, if you're searching for roster spots, there are places you can find them. You know, as you brought up earlier about the running backs and Sammy Morris and five or four. There's been plenty of occasions where they've only kept four. Plenty where they've kept five. So you can definitely get spots at various places. Defensive line's another one. I think most people have 10 defensive linemen in their roster projections. You know, maybe that goes down to 9. You know, who knows? Pete is in Hampshire, England.
Wouldn't that make it Hampshire?
Okay. Andy, another UK Patriots fan here in England.
What's up, girl? Was
formerly
it a girl or a boy?
Andy. Pete, I'm sorry.
What's up, Pete? What's up, boy?
Formerly of Wayland, Mass.
Oh, nice.
He's also trying to stay up until 4 o'clock. These people are dedicated across the pond, Andy. Thanks for your response about the long snapper and his va-va-voom girlfriend. Seriously, are they set at snapper? just to clarify, it was the ex San Diego
long
snapper,
guy.
Not our guy.
Bin is
it. And he was the Chargers' last link to their Super Bowl team way, way back in 1994.
Like Rotney.
Yes, also concerned about Lee Bodden. Wasn't 2 years ago only the second year that he had not missed substantial time. I didn't know that. Is that accurate? I thought he had been a fairly durable guy in his previous stops.
Who?
Lee Bodden? You just pulled a Paul there and weren't paying attention.
Oh, no. He was on IR in Detroit. And a lot of people said he was cut partially because of injury concerns or something at the time.
Interesting.
Got hurt. Breaking news tweeted by Gresh and Zoe. Haynesworth and Ellis playing tonight. And their source is Gil and Gino, who just said it on the pregame show. So, you know, they do sure. production meetings with Bill Belichick.
Geno does he does an interview with the coach.
So that's interesting. I was a little surprised by the Haynesworth one. I thought we wouldn't
see
him.
Stunned by the Haynesworth news. Not as surprised about Ellis, but I'm stunned about Haynesworth. I thought at this point it just made sense to hold on.
No offense, they should dominate up front. If Ellis and Haynesworth play against backup offensive linemen, you should see at least Haynesworth blowing guys up, much like we saw on the practice field for that one day he was out there.
Yeah, it's going to be interesting to see what happens there. I would like to, you know, we're talking a little bit about some of the Patriots that might play tonight. We're going to check in with Paul Schwartz of the New York Post, who covers the Giants for a living, and find out who might be playing for the Giants. Paul, how are you doing?
Hey, how are you guys? How's everything?
I appreciate you taking the time here in the Patriots pregame social. Andy Hart, Paul Perillo with you. Just real quickly, I know it's tough to gauge these things all the time. I know Tom Coughlin is a similarly tight-lipped coach like Bill Belichick. What do you expect to see tonight in terms of personnel for the New Yorkers?
I expect to see a lot of the second and third guys on the depth chart. I think virtually no starters will play. You know, some guys may have to, but not the marquee guys. And, you know, it's going to be a battle of the backups, roster spots, things like that. You know, this is second game within 72 hours, and just doesn't make sense to put the Eli Mannings and Ahmad Bradshaws and Justin Tuck on the field.
Obviously, I think one of those guys we will see then is a former Boston College star and a guy many New Englanders were hoping would land here with the Patriots. But Mark Herzlick, is he in a battle for a roster spot? How has he been in the preseason? And do you think he's going to make the team?
You know, for some reason I thought you might bring his name up.
He's one of the more popular undrafted players of all time.
Well, yes. It's also his birthday today. So,
I didn't know that. Happy birthday.
Yes. It's a big deal for him. Yes, you know, he's a great story. I think he's played pretty well. I you know, when they first signed him, he was maybe a novelty. It was a very emotional thing, and I think he's played well. He had an interception against the Bears, which was a really good play. I think he's done some things on special teams. You know, he's really big and strong. He's a big guy.
Mm-hmm.
You know, he's really you know looks physically impressive. And the Giants have a lot of young linebackers, not necessarily big names or great players, but some draft picks and things like that. But if there's a benefit of the doubt, he's going to get it. You know, John Mara, Boston College guy, really pushed the Giants to sign him. And when the owner pushes you to do anything, you do it. Tom Coughlin, former Boston College coach, has already said he's rooting for Mark Herzlick. So that's two pretty good endorsements right there. You know, I think if he plays well today, he's in great position.
Paul, what kind of a preseason has it been overall for the Giants? You know, from afar, and this is a team that there's a lot of New Englanders still have sort of a connection with, but it seems like there's some talent there, and for whatever reason, things happen. Last year it was the turnovers that really did the team in. What kind of preseason overall, you know, have the Giants had?
Pretty rough one, actually. You know, it started before training camp. They cut two very popular veteran offensive linemen, Rich Soibert and Sean O'Hara. They, O.C. Umanyora was upset in a contract dispute and, you know, showed up and didn't practice, rode the bike, and eventually had arthroscopic knee surgery. Their first-round draft pick, Prince Amukamara, the cornerback from Nebraska, you know, showed up a week late, and then in the second practice breaks his foot. He'll be out at least the first month of the season. You know, on and on and on. There's been some problems. Terrell Thomas, their really, really good rising star cornerback, out for the season, torn ACL. One thing after another, and then you have in free agency, they lost Steve Smith to the Eagles, they lost Kevin Boss to the Raiders, they kind of expected to lose Barry Cofield to the Redskins, so not a lot of movement free agency, some injuries which really depleted their cornerback spot, and you know, Eli Manning on top of that all has not played well in the preseason, completing less than half his passes, so it's been a rough preseason.
I wanted to follow up on a couple of the defensive linemen, and first, I guess, with Umanyora, there were a lot of Patriots fans in the midst of that dispute that were hoping maybe he could land here, that they would make a trade for him. Was there ever
Patriots
any...
Patriots fans were looking to give up, you know, Jonathan Wilhite or some other eighth-string cornerback for him.
Was there ever a serious chance that he was going to be traded in that window when they gave him the opportunity to pursue it?
Well, they put as a price a first-round draft pick. So I would say there was very little chance of that because no team was going to give up a first-round draft pick for O.C. Umanyora, considering... he had hip surgery before last year. He needed a little arthroscopic knee surgery. You know, that's a lot to ask. He's a premier pass rusher when healthy. You know, he had 11 and a half sacks and 10 forced fumbles last year. So he is a difference maker. But, you know, they would have entertained these trade offers, certainly. But not with the first round draft pick. So they set the price high enough where they knew no one would pay it.
And the other guy I was wondering about was Pierre Paul. I've seen some people that think he is a breakout star waiting to happen. Is that your view, or where is he at in his development?
I'm sorry, there was just some noise in the press box here. Who did you ask about?
Pierre Paul. I've seen some that refer to him as a breakout star waiting to happen. What are your views on him?
Well, that's the one thing with OCU Manure. You got a guy like Jason Pierre Paul waiting in the wings. He had 4.5 sacks last year as a rookie, and virtually didn't know what he was doing. You know, he's completely raw, but he's 280 pounds. He's a physical force. Some people call him a physical freak. Very coachable, asked to be on special teams and very quickly had to be double teamed. He just runs down the field and punishes people. He is, I would say, yes, he is a rising star. He can play inside. They move him into play defensive tackle in certain packages. And, in his first quarter of the first game of the preseason, he had 2 sacks, against Jordan Gross, a pretty good tackle from the Patriots. So, I would say he is definitely in that category.
Yeah, Paul, I also wanted to ask you, this is a little bit of a different preseason game because these teams are going to see each other again in the regular season. Belichick sort of alluded to that earlier in the week. What do you think, what kind of team do you think the Giants will bring back here the second time to Gillette Stadium? You mentioned how difficult the preseason has been. Has it been too much to overcome, or is this a team that is a playoff caliber team in the NFC, which I think an improving NFC, a deeper NFC, are they in the mix? Are we going to see a playoff caliber team the second time around?
I think you'll see a team that's in the playoff discussion. Last year they went 10-6 and did not make the playoffs, and I don't see why they're better right now. I really don't. I think they've lost players. You know, you can talk about the growths of the Pierre Pauls and guys like that. Okay, that's fine. You know, Eli Manning's now 30 years old. He's married. He has a little child, and he's in the prime of his career. But he's coming off a bad preseason, and is he going to make that next step? They really look like they're lacking as far as a third receiver, a tight end. It is a really, really poor position for the Giants right now. So I think Manning goes into this year with diminished weapons. I think it's a fringe type team. That the early schedule is not as difficult. They have a hellacious stretch towards the end of the season where they just, really have a battering ram of 3 or 4 opponents in a row. So I think it's going to be a potentially long season for the Giants.
It's interesting you talk about Manning going into the year with some diminished weapons and, coming off a lot of interceptions. He had that comment where he's asked if he thought he was in the class of Tom Brady, and he said yes, and that sort of sent shockwaves throughout New England, the blasphemous comment from Manning that he was in the same class as the reigning NFL MVP. What did that comment lead to in New York? Did people like the confidence, or were they questioning the sanity of it?
Well, in New York, there was no shortage of opinions on it. It was kind of mixed. I thought it was a little bit overdone. He just answered a question. He didn't go on to this long analysis of why he and Tom Brady are equals. He was asked, "Do you think you're in the class of Tom Brady?" He said, "Yeah, I do." Some people like the fact that he showed some moxie and didn't, say, no, I never can be as good as him or anything, or my brother, or those kind of things. I thought it was fine. And some people certainly, as maybe the people in this area thought, oh, you got to be kidding me. Tom Brady threw, 4 interceptions last year, and Eli Manning threw 25. I don't think anyone in their right mind thinks that they're comparable quarterbacks, but I think most people would want their quarterback to say, Sure, I can play at a very high level. I mean, he has won a Super Bowl, so I had no issue with what he said. I think he was just answering a question.
Yeah, I sort of agree with you, Paul. We talked about that a little bit on our show during the week, and I think that he was in one of those situations, damned if you do and damned if you didn't. If he had said no, I think he would have gotten barbecued in his hometown every bit as heavily as he did for the Snickers that he's having to go through now by comparing himself, because I just think that's one that you can't win, and
I agree.
I just don't think there was any easy way
really
to
crave publicity. Usually he answered those questions by saying, "I don't rate myself." That's for you guys to do. And when he didn't say that, I think it caught people off guard.
Yeah. Well, I want to thank you, Paul, for joining us tonight. That's Paul Schwartz from the New York Post Giants beat writer. We'll see you in a few moments up in the press box, Paul. But thank you for taking some time and being part of the pregame social.
Thank you. Appreciate it.
All right. That's Paul Schwartz, beat writer for the New York Giants, joining us here on the Ace Ticket Hotline.
Got some news coming out of the Twittersphere.
There is some news coming over as well. Why don't you hit
well,
some
if
of
you
those?
Got some, you can go first.
Looks Boston Globe. Maybe this is the same news that you had.
What
reporting,
are you reading? I thought I was the Twitter correspondent.
Reporting that Vollmer will start at right tackle. I mean, I'm sorry. Solder will start at right tackle.
Yeah, if you're going to steal my thunder,
and
maybe
Vollmer
you should
won't
get it
play.
Right.
And also Shane Vereen fully dressed and warming up, which has not been the case yet this preseason. Correct.
Right.
You're just going to pout now because you couldn't read a tweet.
I'm not I'm supposed to.
I thought this
Twitter,
was. I thought this was a partnership.
Twitter. I don't read emails. I don't take phone calls.
You don't do anything.
I want to read Twitter.
I still call it a partnership because I'm a team player. Are you just going to pout, really?
I don't have... Those were my tweets I was going to read.
Really? That was all?
Those were the tweets I was going to read. That was the breaking news from the press box.
Breaking news from the press box. Who was breaking that news, just out of curiosity?
I don't know. Twitters.
Twitters. Wow. Well,
we had a nice interview, and now we're just in a rut.
No, well, you know what I'm going to do? I'm going to spend
Fred
this break.
Fred Kirsch made sure I had a second screens because he wanted me to monitor tweet deck, and I say I have some tweets, and Paul goes, I got some stuff I need to read first.
Don't go
just
away.
Just happens to be tweets.
We have one final segment on the Patriots pregame social. I'm going to, right now, get some tissues for Andy Hart. He'll be back to participate in
Take
that final.
Out of your bra.
In that final segment.
So, Carly.
Yeah?
Just a heads up. This Angus burger right here, I love it. So, I tend to stop talking when I eat it. I don't want you to think I'm ignoring you. It's just I'll be checked out for 3 or 4 minutes.
Wait, what? I kind of stop listening when I eat a Big Mac.
I love you.
The classic, one-of-a-kind taste of the Big Mac sandwich and the big, bold taste of the Angus Third Pounder. So much flavor, you'll want to take your time with them. McDonald's, the simple joy of burgers. At participating McDonald's.
So, any progress since last week?
I'm afraid not, Doctor.
Oh, come on! Where's the flag?
See? Like I'm not even here.
Nancy, care to respond?
I'm sorry, the paths are driving. What?
Bob said he feels ignored.
Run it! Run the ball!
Ever since she got NFL mobile from Verizon, I'm practically invisible.
Invisible. Interesting. Let's focus on that.
I'm right here, Nancy.
He's open! Throw it! Throw it! Touchdown, Patriots! Yes!
Nancy, put the vase down. Do not spike the vase.
Woo! That's what I'm talking about!
That's the sixth one this week.
Up top, Doc!
Patriots fans? Yeah, they're obsessed. And nothing feeds their need for Pats football like NFL Mobile. Never miss another touchdown on Sunday afternoon with NFL Red Zone. Text NFL to 8915 and let the football insanity begin. Verizon, official wireless provider of the New England Patriots. Message and data rates may apply. Available on select smartphones. Coverage not available everywhere.
Okay, I'll have the Giganto Burger with cheese combo.
Oh, will that be all?
That's it.
Go, Pats! What?
If you're like this man, you have what is known as a healthy obsession with the Patriots.
Just the jeans today?
Yeah, thanks.
Go, Pats!
Okay, that was weird.
I know, right?
At Bank of America, we understand, and we can help.
I'll just take this when you're ready.
Oh, here you go.
Go, Pats!
Indeed, go, Pats.
With Patriots checking from Bank of America, you can do more than just tell the world about your loyalty. You can show them by getting the Patriots logo on your checks and debit cards.
I say, here's a baguette. Go long.
I'm open!
Whoops. Ask your Bank of America associate if Patriots checking is right for you. Or go to bankofamerica.com/patriots.
Bank of America N.A. Member FDIC. Copyright 2010 Bank of America Corporation. An account setup fee may apply in some states.
Patriot Place in Foxborough is New England's premier entertainment, dining, and shopping destination. Experience the Hall at Patriot Place, presented by Raytheon, an interactive museum dedicated to the history of New England football. The family will want to check out the latest summer movie at Showcase Cinema Deluxe, or a concert or comedy show at Showcase Live. Shop retailers and the region's only Bass Pro Shops. And of course, there's always dinner and drinks as you dine outdoors and take in the sunset or the view overlooking Gillette Stadium. Experience world-class medical care at Brigham and Women's Mass General Healthcare Visitor Center, located on-site at Patriot Place. The region's only four-star hotel, the Renaissance Hotel and Spa, offers luxurious accommodations, including the ultimate in pampering at Spa Epoche. Special events are always happening at Patriot Place, from Kids Club Storytime every Tuesday to the area's largest classic car display. Patriot Place is located in Foxborough next to Gillette Stadium, and parking is free. Visit patriot-place.com for complete store and restaurant hours and event listings. Patriot Place. Shop, dine, enjoy.
This is Patriots kicker Steve Gostkowski, and you're inside the Patriots pregame social.
Paul Perillo and Andy Hart back here inside the Subway Fresh broadcast studios at Gillette Stadium for the final segment of tonight's edition of the Patriots pregame social. Andy, are you going to get over it? Are you all right now?
Can I talk about a photo, or do you want to do that
Absolutely.
Too?
Absolutely. I don't know the photos.
I don't have everything.
I don't have the photos in front of me.
So I'll monitor the photos from now on while you handle the tweets and the emails and the phone calls.
I just wish you would do something.
There's a very cool photo on the page now, the Facebook page, that I urge people to go to of, I believe it's Pam, but her grill. And I'm not talking about her gold teeth. I'm talking about a really cool grill that looks like a car engine with, like, spark plugs and an air filter and a little lady in Daisy Dukes holding our beer for her. It's a very cool photo, so I urge everybody to go check it out. The caption is your grill as cool as this one? And no, I don't think anybody else has a grill as cool as that one.
Well, hats off to Pam for sending in the photos of the...
No, she has a Patriots hat on.
Wow. Pam and AJ and all the others that I think Dave sent some photos into. The tailgate photos up on the Facebook page, definitely... A nice added touch
Can
to
I
the
read
Patriots
a tweet
pregame
now?
Social. Go right ahead.
AJ Peach checking in wants to know if Rossi is playing tonight.
I haven't heard anything about Rossi. I don't.
That didn't come across your news feed.
I don't want to get on the Twitter feed here.
Didn't come across your news
and answer
feed.
That, but I would assume he would. He's practiced now for more than a week.
98.5 is reporting that the guys will play about a quarter, the starters,
including if you were not with us the last segment, Albert Haynesworth and Sean Ellis. So.
PFW, Eric, defensive backs arrive minus Lee Bodden. No Taylor Price or Julian Edelman.
As we talked about earlier, the Lee Bodden situation has me concerned.
The Taylor Price situation has me concerned. Hard for him to catch like 45 balls and 8 touchdowns, as I predicted, if he's, you know, not going to play.
Peter has a quick question here about Mike Wright, and it's interesting because the longer he's away, the more you have to worry and be concerned about him.
Rossi Dowling and Josh Barrett are in uniform. On the field,
good
as
news.
We speak.
Peter's been hearing a lot lately that people think Mike Wright has a decent shot to be cut. Do you guys think they'll keep him on the roster, put him on IR, or cut him?
Yes. I think there's a chance for all of those things. He's a tough guy because he's a valuable, valuable player when healthy, but he's also a guy that had a severe concussion last year, and that scares the bejesus out of me. I know you're always afraid of back injuries. To me, once you're concussed severely,
both
you
yeah.
cross your fingers for the rest of your life.
I
and
feel
hope
like
he
any
doesn't.
Hit, you know, could be the last one.
So he's missed a lot of time in camp here. I wouldn't be surprised if he were on the chopping block come Saturday.
I wouldn't either. And it's too bad. He's a hardworking guy, undrafted free agent when he originally came into the league, I believe in 05 or 06, somewhere in that area. You know, he's done a lot of different things for this team, and if it ends that way, it would be unfortunate. Not that we have any information that it's going to end that way.
No.
But it's when you have a major concussion, Andy just put it perfectly.
He went from a breakout year
from one play to, the
to
next.
His career ending. I mean,
yeah.
he led the team with 5.5 sacks. You figure could have had eight or ten sacks, and then all of a sudden you're like riding high, and boom. There were reports that he couldn't be in rooms with bright lights and watch TV. And now we're talking about could his career be over here anyway.
Back to the Ace Ticket Hotline. We're going to check in with John in South Carolina. John, how are you? You're on the Patriots pregame social.
This is awesome.
It is awesome.
You're awesome.
It overwhelms Andy at times. He gets really mad at me.
Well, I missed the beginning of the show. I had to go get my hair cut with my boy, so I'm coming in a little bit late.
You're looking good, though, I think. You're looking good.
Well, thank you. I am a handsome man. So I got two things. One, Ocho looks impressive today. That's what's going to happen.
Okay.
Everybody's going to say, wow, he does look good. That's going to happen.
I hope so.
Just before you get to number two, if the starters do play a quarter or so, I will bet that John is right. They will go out of their way to make sure he looks impressive.
What are they going to do? Put glue
on
his fingers?
They're going to throw the ball to him and make him catch it.
How are they going to make him catch it? He failed in that for the first month.
He's too good of a player to drop passes like he did last week.
Or like he did for the first 3 weeks of training camp.
But that's the only one he's dropped in the game.
But he's dropped a lot in a Patriots uniform.
What's number two, John?
If Ellis and Haynesworth are what we think they are, and they solve all our pass rush problems, do we still have problems with passes over the middle, fast passes over the middle?
I think you could. I am not sold that those two players are going to solve your pass rush problems. If you're going to solve your pass rush problems, it's going to be Andre Carter to me. I do still worry a little bit about that middle zone. Andy brought this up during the game last week when it seemed like those areas were still lacking. I thought there was a couple of occasions where Mayo seemed to be chasing and not necessarily in good position. And, yeah, that's still a concern to me.
And that's all I got, man. Enjoy the show. You guys doing a great job. Can't wait for the season.
Well, John, thanks for giving us a call and joining us on the pregame social. But I think he does bring up a couple of good points with that defense, because I think we got sort of carried away a little bit after the Tampa Bay game and then brought back to earth a little bit last week in Detroit. Whereas, like most things of this nature, Andy, the truth is probably somewhere in the middle. It's not as good as it was in Tampa. It's not as bad as it was in Detroit. I am interested, however, in seeing the approach. And I thought the approach was similar in Detroit as it was in Tampa. I don't think there was a vast difference in their attacking style. I thought Mayo came on a blitz effectively. I thought Arrington came on a blitz. I liked that sort of upfield, get-after-it mentality that they had. It just was more effective against Tampa.
Yeah, and it'll be interesting to see if it can be more effective with Sean Ellis and Albert Haynesworth involved with some of those guys on the edge, Carter, Mark Anderson, Eric Moore, whoever it may be. We still are waiting to see what this defense can be, and it sounds like you're going to be waiting for a while, because if Bodden's not playing, if Bodden's not healthy, I consider that part of the defense, having two guys I can really count on to cover. And if they're not both out there, okay, now what am I doing? And if some of the guys up front aren't quite right, Jermaine Cunningham, if he's not ready, you know, there are some questions about the rotations up front. So it's going to be a work in progress. I'm intrigued to see Haynesworth on the field tonight, even though I'll take anything I see on the field tonight with a grain of salt.
Sure.
Not only are they backups, they're backups that had a different game to prepare for 3 days ago.
Yeah.
So it's even worse than normal backups.
Yeah, and Paul Schwartz, I thought, when we talked to him a little while ago from the New York Post.
Schwartzy.
I thought that was a key element of this game. You're basically playing two games in 72 hours, so you got to take everything you see tonight, even from the backups.
Basil A71 checking in on Twitter, loving the first pregame social that he's she's listened to, whichever one it is.
Is that our Basil?
I don't know. How would you know?
If it's our Basil, it's a he.
Yeah, but there could be other Basils out there.
Basil A?
Is he the only Basil on the planet?
Basil A?
71.
Yeah, that's
okay. Then he wants to know where we will be on Tuesday, and if you are in the area, we'll be at Waxy O'Connor's in Foxborough from 6 o'clock at night, I believe. Ish.
Who's going to that? Just the two of you guys, or
Fred's going?
Fred's going too.
It's the Patriots Football Weekly TV show as part of the Comcast Sportsnet Football Block. Tom E. Curran and Mary Paletti will also be there, as well as other Comcast personalities. But we all know you're coming down to see Andy, so come on down and
I'll be bussing tables.
Line up behind the velvet ropes, and I'll see if I can squeeze you through.
I'm not sure if Joel in Merrimack, New Hampshire will be there, but he is checking in now on the email box. He says that we actually work pretty well together, at least in this venue.
At least up until the stole my tweets.
He is becoming worried about both the safety and cornerback positions. I know we looked at Darren Sharper. Do you guys know if it was a case of the tank is empty, or did he want too much?
I don't know that it's necessarily either. I think it was a case of what does he have?
Due diligence to see what he is and then see how much
he
needs.
When we will need it, just like TJ Hushmanzada, Mark Clayton, who, by the way, re-signed
with
the Rams, Kevin Smith, Clinton Portis, you know, endless guys they've worked out to make sure they're update on their scouting reports. They didn't have time probably at certain portions. Now they got to get it done.
Ready for a quick game?
Can I give you a quick update? Mike Wright also on the field and in uniform.
Okay.
And he will play tonight, according to Bill Belichick.
Okay. Let's play a keep him game. Two players, your choice of which to keep.
James Sanders. Oh, I already lost that game.
Gerard Mayo, Devin McCourty.
Mayo.
Mayo for me as well. Matt Light, Sebastian Vollmer.
Light. Whoa. How does this game work?
If I can only keep one of those, it's Vollmer.
But wait, I mean, is this like a hypothetical? I get a career out of Light or a career out of Vollmer? Or is this one that... Who are you talking to?
Sorry.
Or is this keeping them moving forward? I don't understand the question.
Well, he just says, which one do you want to keep?
This year?
I would want to keep Vollmer for this year.
Oh, if it's real life right now, then Vollmer. If it's which player do I want, it's Light. I think Light's a better player, right, you know, for his career.
Yeah, I agree with that. Andre Carter or Sean Ellis?
Andre Carter.
Same with me. Logan Mankins or Vince Wilfork? Actually, he wrote Vince Wilfork. Logan Mankins for me.
Vince Wilfork.
Brian Hoyer or Ryan Mallett?
Brian Hoyer.
Same with me. Patrick Chung or Wes Welker?
Patrick Chung.
Same with me. Brandon Spikes or Gary Guyton?
Gary Guyton.
Same with me. Wow, we agree a lot on that one.
You probably read it on my tweets.
That usually doesn't happen. My God. Bill in San Diego, you really need to get a life, my friend.
You're in San Diego. Enjoy the world. Stop emailing vulgarities and rude things to our show. Or get a clue and figure out how to listen, however you want.
You ready for this?
Is this the Eric Hour?
Yeah.
I mean, yes, I'm excited to hear Eric Scalavino on the Ace Ticket Hotline from inside our Subway Fresh Broadcast Studios.
Eric, how you doing?
I'm all right, guys. Some interesting things going on out here on the field.
And you've finally been tweeting them. You had a strong night giving us some information. I appreciate it. But why don't you recap your tweets?
Sure. Well, you want to go chronologically? We'll start off with the very first thing. First player I saw out on the field was Wes Welker, and he was in his game uniform, minus the pads and helmet early on. But he was out there warming up, running routes, catching passes, looking very active, looking no worse for the wear from his hard hit on the tackle he made on the interception the other night. And he's been warming up consistently since then. He looks like he's going to get some action tonight. Danny Woodhead, also, you know, he came back strong the other day. He was out there as well. Interesting note early on, seeing one of the bubble players, Thomas Austin, rookie offensive lineman, who we mostly have seen at guard, was playing center under the watchful eye of Rich Hornberger, who was out there with him during warm-ups, sort of giving him some pointers on, technique and whatnot.
On how not to block Sue.
Away!
Right. Yeah.
How to get spun like a top.
Exactly. Now, for the notable attendance report here, I am seeing Mike Wright in uniform. He just came back to practice this week, as you guys know. I'm also seeing, for the first time out on the game field, Sean Ellis and Albert Haynesworth. Both of them are in full uniform.
And expected to play, by the way.
Yeah, looks like they're gonna see their first action of the preseason as well. On a down note, though, I do not see Taylor Price or Julian Edelman on the wide receiver side. And on defense, still no Lee Botten, which isn't too much of a surprise, but Dane Fletcher and Brandon Spikes, both of whom returned the same day as Mike Wright, do not see them out on the field, which isn't too good news for them. Although they did practice the other day, so they look like they're on their way to recovery at this point. Couple of other notes. Rookies, Rozai Dowling and Shane Vereen, both out there. Vereen was actually fielding some kickoffs early on. Dowling is now taking part in the warm-ups with the rest of the defensive backs. Seeing Josh Barrett for the first time in a game uniform out here. And Andy, I know you're really going to be interested in this note. Tyquan Underwood, our favorite receiver that we just picked up from the Jags?
Yes.
Took his helmet off at one point during warm-ups, and the high top fade didn't look like one hair was out of place.
Nice. You know what his favorite route to run is?
The fade.
A curl?
The fade!
The fade, idiot.
Oh.
Jesus.
Really? Come on now. You had a strong night, Eric, and you ruined it right there.
Screw you, bitch.
Too much thinking.
Yes.
All right, so yeah, interesting. It'll be with some different personnel guys, I think, that we'll see the first time. And, Eric, I don't know if you're aware, but evidently Gil and Gino reported on 98.5 The Sports Hub that Ellis and Haynesworth would, in fact, see some time tonight. So You have to think that's coming directly from the big boss himself, William Belichick. So it'll be interesting to see those guys make their debuts. Mike Wright out there in full uniform as well. And as we speak, over the top of Andy's shoulder, Tyquan Underwood.
Tyquan
with his kid and play do. I love it.
Yeah,
Eric.
You know what, guys? Real quick, Tom Brady was out here, too. I think we should just mention that. I wouldn't be surprised if he gets two or three series and then they pull the plug on him for the night. But he is out here. He's warming up fully. And, I think he'll get a few snaps in.
Yeah, and it'll be against a slew of backups because the Giants obviously just played Monday night, and there's not really going to be any need to get anybody else out there. But, Eric, you did a fine job tonight. Don't let Andy bring you down.
I never do.
All right, we'll see you in a few minutes. That's the illustrious Eric Scalavino upstairs in the press box here inside Gillette Stadium.
A curl?
A curl. I mean, seriously.
Rich Ornberger's favorite route.
You can lead a horse to water, but evidently I don't know. I don't know how you could miss that one.
He's the horse's ass.
Really? You had to bring it there?
No,
you want it? We're going to do one more.
A bit was the term Jonathan Kraft apparently used on 98.5 The Sports Hub in terms of first-unit players playing. So Brady will play for a bit.
A bit. I think that you're going to get 10, 12, 15 snaps probably out of those guys. But you know what? I could also see a very quick and efficient 5-play, 80-yard drive to open the game. And then Belichick saying, you know what, this is like a glorified 7-on-7 based on the competition. Let's get him out of here.
I'm going to throw out a poll question on the run here.
Do it quickly because I'd like to get back to the Ace Ticket hotline.
Okay, well, we'll get to you in 1 minute. But which of these injured players are you most concerned about at this point? Cunningham, Bodden, Spikes, Price, or whoever else I may be forgetting? Conley.
Out of that group, I'm most concerned about Bodden. Because I think he's the most important.
Me too. I think that defense takes a serious hit if you have to go down a notch on the the cornerback rungs.
I agree there, and I think, no disrespect to the other players, I think Conley would probably be next because of what we talked about in the first hour of the show. I don't think there's an adequate replacement. And, other than that, if Price can't play, I don't think he's going to be an integral part of the offense. Brandon Spikes, yeah, he's going to be the starting middle linebacker, it looks like, but if he can't play, I still don't think he's going to be a full-time player. I think he can get by with Fletcher and Guyton and guys like that. So, yeah, I mean, I think Bodden's the most important guy there. Before we wrap this one up, though, I do want to get back to the Ace Ticket hotline because Gail in Pennsylvania has been waiting patiently. Gail, how are you?
Good, guys. How are you?
Doing great.
I've been wanting to call for years. This live format at night, pretty nice.
You can
nice.
Call anytime, anytime.
We'll be here another 17 weeks in a row.
I've never been able to, all these years. You work during the day and I podcast all the time. But, hey, I texted you earlier about the Tracy White-Nico thing. I just don't get it with Tracy White. I mean, I watch all the stuff and I don't even know what number he is.
58.
I know, but, this Nico cat, man, he's showing up, and when he's getting a chance, he's in there, he's doing stuff, and I don't know, I have a problem even with Slater as the gunner, If you're going to take
don't get me started
the
there.
Roster, I just want him to do something else, It's these spots are so crucial, and I just can't say it, I don't know. I want somebody that can get out there at least a couple plays and do something. Chance of Slater being out there at wide receiver is just zero, though. Zero. Don't you agree?
Well, the funny thing is he's had his best preseason as a receiver, both in practice and in game action. He's actually caught the ball a little bit, which has been a step up
for him.
He's
made some plays, but
I don't think he flashes on special teams.
I don't think he's that good on special teams. I don't think that just the amount of tackles tells the story. I think that you're looking, especially that position, I think you're looking for big plays. Kyle Arrington, 2 years ago, came here about halfway through that season and made a handful of plays that I remember. And he was very good in that role. That's the role that Matthew Slater plays. I've never seen it from him. Never seen
even,
it.
Even Eric, if somebody else has to be able to do something. I don't know. I guess I just have the mindset that if you're going to be on this team, you better do more than one thing.
And Andy I both agree with you on Nico, on our roster, our final 53 roster projection that we did, published it this week in Patriots Football Weekly. We went with Nico as that extra linebacker over Tracy White. So we're with you on that.
And one other thing, I mean, I know you guys watch a lot more of the film or whatever you do than what we can, but the Rich Hornberger experiment to me, it's over. Done. I don't want to see no more of it. I'm done with it.
I think you may be right on that.
I'm from Pennsylvania, and he went to Penn State, and he was okay. He was nothing. I don't know. I didn't think he was an NFL prospect then, but I don't know. I don't see anything there. I need upside. I want somebody like I only want the Thomas Austin guy. Somebody that's I don't know. I mean, how many years do you give Hornberger? You know, he come in, he got his chance last week, and he just got pushed around all over the place.
Yeah, I think this may be it for that.
I do
for
too.
The Hornberger experiment. But Gail, thanks for checking in.
And Gail's right. It's the progression. As long as you know, Bill always says, as long as it's still going up in some way.
Yeah.
Then you keep giving the guy time. He develops from the practice squad to some backup reps to start whatever. It looks like Hornberger may have plateaued. He hasn't been great in camp. He's had some issues in camp. I've never been overly impressed with him in general.
And they were high on him in that draft. And I haven't seen
it. As kind of a technician.
He's not.
Everybody loves him.
He's not an athlete.
Everybody says he's a nice guy and all that, and that's fine, but I'm not sure he can compete.
You know what? I'm going to do this against my better judgment. And I'm going to tell you right now, Bill, keep it clean because I will ban you for life. Bill in San Diego.
Let me tell you, Paul, this is not that Bill in San Diego.
Oh, okay. All right. I was a little worried about that. You should have made sure that Kevin put not that Bill in San Diego. I would have gotten to you a lot quicker. How you doing, Bill?
I'm doing pretty good. I told Kevin this was a good one, but he might not have heard me.
Yeah, he's not that bright either, so might have went right over his head.
Yeah, I called in because I heard you guys getting mad at this Bill in San Diego character.
Oh, yeah. He's been dropping F-bombs periodically. Yeah. Throughout all of our Patriots pregame socials.
Yeah, well, I wanted to call in to defend my name a little bit here.
Are you listening? Were you able to find it and listen to the show?
Oh, yeah. I'm on Facebook right now listening to it. Well, I'm on the phone right now, but I was on Facebook listening to it.
Right. So you can do it. It can be done. In San Diego, you can listen to the Patriots pregame social with Paul and Andy. It can be done. Your proof.
Very easy to do, yes.
So what do you got about the game tonight? Who are you looking forward to see get extended play? Maybe a Richard Medlin fan out in San Diego?
No, not really a Richard Medlin fan. I'm looking to see. I heard that Eric say that Shane Vereen was on the field. Maybe he gets a little bit. I kind of doubt that. Maybe Stephen Ridley a little bit more. Who knows? But I'm really happy to hear that Haynesworth and Ellis are going to be playing tonight.
Yeah, me too. We could see some young offensive linemen for the Giants get blown up by far more experienced veteran powerhouses in the middle. That is very much intriguing, and I agree with you on Vereen, because Medlin is what he is. He's going to be on the practice squad if he's here at all moving forward. Vereen, it'd be interesting to see if he gets extended reps to see where he is in terms of the offense, the blitz pickup. Let's let him make mistakes with Brian Hoyer's life on the line or Ryan Mallett's life on the line and not number 12.
Yeah, I agree. He's a guy that I liked watching in college, and I was happy to see the Patriots pick him up in the draft, and disappointed to see he hasn't got a lot of time in practice because of his injury.
Yeah, and I do appreciate, Bill, that you calling in to defend your honor, because I did just sort of assume that it was the same one, and he
you know,
is
San
not.
Diego's a small place. How many Bills can there be out there?
Well, I mean, seriously, he signs it Bill in San Diego, you know.
Well, that's his name, just and he lives in San Diego.
I didn't know we had, you know, thousands of.
We're big with Bills.
You know, Bills
we got a Bill in Foxborough who loves us. We
but
got a
I
Bill
am
in
glad.
San Diego who loves us. We got a Bill in Foxborough who hates us. We got a Bill in San Diego who hates us.
I am glad he took the time to write in and defend his good name, because he is one of our more loyal listeners. And, you know, I apologize to any of the emailers or callers that we didn't get to tonight in the Patriots pregame social. It was our final preseason edition. We're very excited. Remember, 1 week from Monday night, September 12th, be with us, you know, for the Patriots pregame social, the real deal, as we preview the Monday night opener against the Miami Dolphins. But now, the night has not ended, folks. As you know, every week when you finish listening to Andy and I here, it's time to get on Patriots.com, click on the curse words, and participate with Fred Kirsch's live in-game blog. Fred loves the interaction with the fans. He's a lot more patient than Andy and I. And don't let him ignore your comments, because we want to know what you have to say. But again, I want to thank everyone for joining us tonight on the Patriots pregame social, and be back with us. Be sure to be back with us Monday, September 12th, for the first ever Patriots pregame social regular season edition.
Run, Richard Medlin, run!
This has been the Patriots Pregame Social, live from the Patriots Facebook page. Now it's game time as the Patriots square off with the New York Giants.
Brady, play action fake, fires to the right, wide open, Gronkowski, and he's in! Touchdown!
Be sure to tune in to Patriots.com radio all week long for recaps and reaction to this week's game.
Wood had the running back, gets it cut up the middle, he's inside the 15-yard line, turning wide at the 10, at the 5, and he's over the end zone! Touchdown, Danny Woodhead!
We look forward to hearing from you on next week's edition of the Patriots Pregame Social. Sure.